It's the dawn of a new day. The world awakens. The birds twitter. A rooster crows. And soon, as always, will come that sound of music.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Kevin and Bean Show is my life's inspiration of to be what I am inside me. That just bring it out and project what I have, what I got.
Oh, I had no idea you were a moron.
200 on the dance floor. 200 on the dance floor.
Too many. There's too many on the dance floor. We need to spread the out a little bit. Create some lady space. Come on, big part, guys.
I think we're gonna tone down the language, right?
That joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I love Jesus, but I drink a little.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Calm down, my posse, calm down.
Roll another one.
Liquor up front, poker in back.
Just like the other one.
W-O-W.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
This is why I come here every day.
Roll, roll.
Colorful around,
just like the other one.
This is getting weird on this show.
This one seems to be about to end.
You make me physically ill.
I don't have another cent.
Kevin and Beanie.
Yeah, we're new.
Donut, Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
Just pass it around.
I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
Jewish fans out there.
Just pass it on down.
And now,
ladies and gentlemen, yeah! How about Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show? Yeah! How many people?
Feature presentation.
Yeah, that happened.
How happy is Omar in that tape? You just got thrilled.
He really has never been happier in his life, I don't think.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Al, party people, it is Friday. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Toll free. Get on the air at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air. Get a prize. I don't know about you, Kevin, but when I was 16, I was not sailing by myself around the world on a boat.
Okay? No.
When I was 16, I wasn't quite doing that yet.
I was throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
This chick, I don't know if you've been following this
story.
Oh, yeah. But
I haven't,
It looked very, 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 very bad yesterday. Abby Sunderland is her name. She's 16 years old, and her boat capsized, essentially, in the Indian Ocean. And this is the time of year, by the way, that the Indian Ocean, where she is, it's like 6 hours from Australia or something, is just like hurricane force winds
right
out there. You know, it's like the perfect storm.
Did she go out there on purpose?
Yeah.
By herself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was part of her route, right. And so yesterday, you know, they were out there flying planes looking for her. The distress signal had gone off, and they made contact with her late last night that she's still alive. How happening is this chick? She's out there by herself in the middle of the ocean. She says, yeah, I'm totally fine. I got enough food to hang on. I'll just be right here just floating on this piece of debris until you get here in a plane.
Did she have some kind of GPS thing that they could track her with? Or,
yeah. Yeah. Well, was it GPS? Is that what she had? I know she's been sending out
some
signals.
Sort of emergency beacon. Yeah. She had several different things. They had one thing that could tell if the boat was actually submerged.
Oh, wow.
Which didn't go off. So they didn't think that was the case, but they didn't know if she was still in it.
Yeah.
And the mast went into the water.
Yeah.
But they did say that the emergency, you know, the beacon that went off, she had set off rather than it being set off automatically.
Right.
And they by the knew way, that, yeah.
I want you to picture this. I know you're a few years away from having a 16-year-old girl.
How
but
dare
imagine
you.
Sending, well, you know what no. I'm saying, your daughters. Imagine sending your daughter at 16 going, all right, honey, you go ahead and sail around the world and I'll see you in 8 months.
No, I think I'd go, okay, you crazy. And then she'd call, oh, the boat tipped over, and go, should have thought of that ahead of time.
What did I tell you? I tell
you, the most supportive person when they called it?
To go before you leave, and you should have thought of that ahead of time.
Told you, you should have thought about that boat turning over.
Well, apparently this whole family sail. I mean, they like grew up learning to sail. The son says he learned to sail before he learned to walk, practically.
Yeah, he at one time he went around the world when he was 17. By the way,
all right, listen.
So she had to show him up.
Take it easy.
And now she's 60.
That
so
family needs to just take it easy.
Yeah. Anyway, just a crazy story with a very looks like it's going to be a very happy ending that they're going to be able to find her and she's going to be okay.
Only just, because she doesn't know about the shark that's just about to eat her whole.
Oh, would that be sad if what 1 minute before the copter gets there,
the beacon starts swimming?
What? Where'd it go? What happened? It's just so often, especially in my life, because I'm just a fat blob and do nothing. And have no abilities, no ambition.
But when
and
it comes to physical challenges, you don't rule.
I don't rule. Right. I am not full of wind. But what I'm saying is so often you see a story about somebody and you go, I just, they couldn't be better than, more, further from my life and better than I am any more than they are.
Yeah, well, it's a long list.
That's a huge list. Virtually everyone listening, in fact.
All right. Let's start with your phone calls. Any topic is fine. We put you on the air. We give you a prize. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067. Yeah, that's the number. Today you get a Kevin and Bean t-shirt. Why don't we start with, well, got to start with Damien. Talk about the big sports story of the night last night. He is on line two. Hey, Damien, thanks for calling. What it do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
All right, man. What about those referees? Oh, my God.
You talking about the Lakers Celtics?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. As many complaints about the referees last night as in previous games in the finals.
Yeah, but how did they let them, how the Lakers 11-0 run? That was, like, horrible. All those calls, and, like, they're getting fouled in the paint so much. And just, like, Ray Allen goes up for a little layup. They call it and make it a three-point play. It's, like, ridiculous.
There were some horrible calls, but I think overall it was a little better than the games before where they just, if you make a move, they call a foul on you.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but what I think was happening, though, I think they just wanted to go to game seven. Like, that's how it looked.
So many people believe that.
Every series is fixed.
Yeah, well, it's not maybe fixed the winner, but they just want to make sure there's a lot of games so they can make a lot of money. There's so many people that think the refs are in on that, and the NBA tells them we need this to go seven.
As opposed to they're just two really good teams who are really well matched.
Yeah.
Well, no, just because it's the renewal of the rivalry and all that.
I hear you, dude. Yeah.
It was weird. I mean, every game has its different rhythm, and sometimes you'll watch a game and you can't believe it's the same two teams you saw two nights before.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't believe it's the same two teams you saw the half before. The difference in that game, the tempo of the game, and the intensity of both teams between the first half and the second half, it was like you were watching a whole different game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
It's crazy. Yeah,
they actually ran up the score with their bench.
Yeah.
He put their coach of the Celtics were going to put in the main three, Garnett and Rondo and all those guys, and twice he called them back to the bench.
Because Big Baby Davis.
Dave
Robinson did real good yesterday.
Davis is fat. He's a fat player.
And by the way, is Miss Cleo taller than Nate Robinson? What's that dude's deal?
He's 5'6". Is that right?
I think that's what I heard.
He sure makes it work to his advantage, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, it is crazy. You're right, Lisa, because most guys who even love basketball, once they realize they're going to top out at 5'7", they go, well, I guess that dream's dead.
Yeah,
I
can't be a model either.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot you can't do. That's weird.
All right, let's see here. Let's go to Nick. Talk about that. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
What's going on?
I'm just calling about Monday, I think it was, Russell Martin hit a little girl in the head with a baseball. Hit a foul ball and hit the girl.
Right.
What happened to her?
She went to the hospital, and then they interviewed the parents at the hospital. But
what'd they say? Are you happy it happened? What do you say? I mean,
I think Russell Martin doesn't like little girls.
You think that? You think he did it on purpose?
No, I don't know.
He doesn't recognize the name. He's a player for the Dodgers. I think it was batting practice is where it happened.
Oh, and, batting practice.
That's a risk. I think it was. That's a risk you take anytime you enter a stadium. Is that you? They it's on every ticket that says, "Look, it's on you, man. Be aware there are going to be flying objects hurling at your head."
Right.
But what do you do? A little girl obviously can't get out of the way if she doesn't see it.
Right.
But Russell Martin, he did pay for her medical treatment though.
So that's nice.
That was a nice tip. Yeah. So she's going to be fine. There have been people killed at baseball games getting hit by baseball.
Did you see that the father? I saw it on SportsCenter. Steal the ball from that little kid when the players warm up, and then the players a lot of times will toss the baseball up into the stands. And there's a little kid with his glove, and this older 50 stepped right in front of the 9-year-old and grabbed the ball and gave it to his little kid.
Right out
of his glove, like stole it right out of his glove. And the kid's mouth dropped open. He's like, "What just happened?" It was awesome.
What an ass.
It was awesome.
Well, I'm sorry we didn't have time for more calls. We got some good ones on the line, but please try us again next week. And thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Brian wanted to know why mustard is yellow. Do we have time for that?
No, we never have time for that.
Let's talk about
today's. That's an additive, you know. It's not naturally yellow. They add a spice or something to it.
Email
to make it
Bean.
Email Bean, Brian.
Bean@krock.com.
You'll know. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
So let's quit jabbering and let's start jamming.
Well said. On today's Kevin and Bean Show, it's Friday, so we've got Adam Carolla this week in Rage.
Yeah.
We have Ralph taking a look at the movie beat. We have Soccer is Great. Who's with me?
I'm with you. And in fact, Kevin, are you able to watch Mexico, South Africa in about 45 minutes, or is that just me?
Oh, no, I can.
Oh, you can watch it from
online.
There? Good.
Yeah.
All right.
We also have Kevin and Bean Wake Up Call. We're sending somebody to the Bumbershoot Festival, which I believe is up in Bean's neck of the woods. You get to stay with Bean. It's good news.
No, but you don't have to, right?
I'm not sure we've confirmed that. Thank you, Lisa. I think it's best for everyone involved if you don't.
We have a new internet roundup for you. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about sports. We have Dana White from the UFC.
Great.
Wow.
Talking about the Ultimate Fighter and UFC 115, which, of course, is Chuck Liddell, and other stuff. I'm not sure what I mentioned. Did I mention Green Day Rock Band?
No.
I don't think you did, but that's happening today as well.
So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Brand new internet roundup coming up for you in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show, so you don't miss any of the great videos going around. Hey, that's Ralph Garman. Remember that guy? He used to work on this show back in the 90s.
John Henson, former host of the Super
Oh, that's right. I knew you looked familiar. Well, Ralph, welcome back, man. We missed you, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks to all the emails
and
people who were asking how my family was doing. People now, I can't fool anybody anymore. They know if I'm missing from work, odds are I got problems at home. And
right.
Olivia had to go back into the hospital this week for a short stay. It was scary, but she's good, and she's well, and she's back home already. So
great news.
Everything is back to status quo.
What here's a pain in the ass that kid is, by the way.
Oh, I'm going to never stop beating her the minute she gets old enough.
What's the age where you're old enough to get beaten?
I think 6.
All right, so she's got some time till she has to worry about that.
They tell you when you're in the NICU, the neonatal intensive care unit, that if you're dealing with a preemie, and she was 2 months premature, that the odds are of you coming back to the hospital for a reason is you should count on one trip to the hospital for every 4 weeks that she was in the NICU.
So you got one more.
So I got at least another one in the bank waiting to come out.
Great.
So
that's great daunting.
But I got to tell you something once again, and this is important to no one but me to say, the staff of doctors and nurses over at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center here in Los Angeles is unfreaking believable how amazing they were and continue to be. So I just wanted to give them a special shout out in case anybody over there is listening, because it is in a horrible, horrible, stressful situation. Having the right care and the people with the right attitude while they're giving you good care makes it easier or makes it hell.
Yeah.
And if you've got good staff and people who really care and act like it, then it really makes all the difference in the world. Because initially, we had to call the, I don't want to get into a big long story, but we had to call the paramedics this time around.
Scary.
Scary. And so 911 is not a joke, by the way, I found out.
Oh.
When they show up, they take you by law to the nearest hospital.
Okay.
They don't take you to the hospital you want to go to or that you've been going to. They take you to the nearest one.
Right.
And we had to go to a different hospital initially. And that was an effing clown college. Just a bunch of idiots running around not knowing what they're doing and treating us like crap, basically.
Really? Wow.
So the first thing we had to do once we got her stabilized was to get transferred over to Cedars to get some quality care. So you
did
really
take you the set of scrubs or what?
I wish we would have had better care from Zach Braff than we had initially when we were at the hospital. So that made it just that much more stressful.
Yeah.
But once we got to Cedars, then everything started to turn around in our favor. So good news.
Good times. Well, we're glad to have you back, man. Hollywood missed you.
Well, I missed Hollywood. No, that's not really.
I don't know that any of us can speak for Hollywood. I'd just like to put that out there.
I love speaking of kids. Katherine Heigl was doing an interview this week about her adopting her daughter, Nali,
right?
N-A-L-E-I-G-H. And she said, I know it's fashionable to adopt kids in Hollywood. I'm paraphrasing. To adopt kids in Hollywood these days, but that's not the reason she did it. I didn't know this about Katherine, but apparently she said adoption has been present in her family for some time. Her mom adopted Catherine's sister Meg from Korea back in the 70s.
Oh, no kidding.
So she said, it's always been an option for me. It's always been something I considered doing because of I was following in the footsteps of my mother.
She was doing it when it wasn't cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Catherine said her mom also made a horrible film with Ashton Kutcher back in the 70s, and so that's why she's also following in those footsteps with The Killers now in theaters near you.
Well, at least she's not going to pass along those janky teeth.
That's
you know?
True. They can fix those now, I've found.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ashton Kutcher, it just keeps getting worse. Michael Douglas is talking about his new movie, Wall Street 2, of course, doing some press. But he also was talking about his classic TV series, The Streets of San Francisco, where he got his first big break. It was a very popular cop show back in the 70s. And he said they're going to give the movie the big screen treatment. And he plans on doing a cameo in that film. And it looks like Ashton Kutcher may star in the
movie.
Oh, no.
Can't see him enough on the big screen.
So we got that going for us.
Please don't give him any more movies. And by the way, that's not a show that a lot of people... I don't think it got big play in reruns, but very stylish, very exciting program.
Yeah, it really was. It was one of the quintessential cop shows of the 70s.
Nope.
But here's the thing. It was just really about two cops. An older cop, played by Carl Malden, and a young detective who he kind of takes under his wing and brings him along. That's the premise of the movie. You don't need to make a Streets of San Francisco movie. If you want to make a movie like that, just make a cop movie because no one really remembers or cares about the names of the two guys.
They can't do that anymore. It has to be tied in.
They couldn't just do a cop show about an older cop and a new cop.
Has to be tied in.
Which has already been done a million times, but still. The Streets of San Francisco really, as a name, isn't going to drive people to the theaters.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to go see who plays Carl Malden.
Let me tell you what's going to drive people or keep people away. The star.
Yeah.
Which means I'm not going.
I was so bummed this week. I got to miss talking about the season finale of Glee, which was awesome.
Oh, man, did Omar agree?
I'm surprised. Us Weekly Magazine's got a big story about all the stars of Glee, giving you a little glimpse backstage about what they're like. Matthew Morrison apparently is enormously shy. He plays Mr. Schuster on the show, the teacher.
I know him, Afro teacher man.
Painfully shy.
Really?
But when he performs, just breaks out of his shell for some reason or another. Corey Monteith, who plays the quarterback on that show, Finn, he apparently is still overwhelmed trying to keep up with the other members of the cast because he is not a singer or a dancer on that show. So he has to work twice as hard as everyone else.
Seems like that would be difficult.
And they say Lea Michele is just as driven career-wise in her real life as her character Rachel is. Apparently she is...
That's big news.
She is a no-nonsense girl. I will not respond to that because I'm a little in love with her.
Omar has ruined Glee for us, and Kevin and I can only think of those actors and actresses by their Omar-given names.
I don't like the code names.
And when we watch the show, we hear Omar screaming. We can hear it in our heads already.
Yeah, and he's right, too, by the way.
But I still like it.
Justin Bieber has announced he is expanding his plan for world domination.
Yes.
He told In Touch magazine that he has already got his own fragrance in the works.
I just don't care at all.
Justin Bieber, the fragrance, will be targeted towards young men to wear, so you can smell like Justin Bieber.
Really?
Okay. No word yet exactly what it smells like, but insiders say the scent is reminiscent of Clearasil and lesbian.
Yeah!
Don't even know what that would smell
it's
like.
It's a
strange mixture. And sad news today for Rodney Bingenheimer. The Go-Go's have canceled what they said was going to be the group's farewell tour.
No!
I'm sorry, Beer Mutt, but it's true. Apparently, guitarist Jane Wheedlin fell 20 feet off a mountain near her home in Northern California.
Wow.
And will have to undergo knee replacement surgery. Still don't know why that guy's playing a harp.
Sad news, apparently.
That's going to put Jane Wheedlin out of commission for at least a year, that operation. So the entire band's summer tour is off, including their big New York Central Park performance that was going to be on Good Morning America as well. So you won't officially get a chance to say goodbye to the Go-Go's. They asked the president of the Go-Go's fan club what she was thought, and she said, are they still alive?
They're not rescheduling. Right. They're just saying it's off.
You know what? Maybe this is God telling us that we don't got the beat.
Any Go-Go's fan who hasn't seen them the last 20 tours they've made, by the way, you know, it's on them at this point.
That was my first concert ever, by the
way. Was it really?
Yeah. Really?
Huh. First concert ever was the Go-Go's. I had a bit of a crush on Belinda Garland.
Oh, didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was hot. Today's celebrity birthdays, Shia LaBeouf, which, of course, means shiny beef in French.
I don't think that...
Yeah, don't eat the shiny roast beef, by the way. It's not good, then.
If it's shiny,
if you see that green shine on roast beef laying there on the platter, just pass.
Okay.
Just go for, like, the turkey. He is 24 years old today. NFL legend Joe Montana. He's an actor and a quarterback. He has got a lot
of the other.
Actually, if you could source that, I think those are two different guys. Oh. I think this guy's just the actor.
Well, that makes him less impressive to me then. He is 54 years old today. Joshua Jackson. Woo-hoo! He is 32 years old today. Hugh Laurie. One of my other crushes. He is 51 years old today. Of course, Dr. House from the TV series of the same name. And actor Gene Wilder. If you've never seen a little movie called The Producers that Mel Brooks did early in his career, they made a big musical out of it on Broadway and then made a feature film based on that musical that was crap. But the original movie, one of the funniest comic performances I've ever seen, given by Gene Wilder in that film. And, of course, young Frankenstein, brilliant in that. Willy Wonka, who could forget him as Willy Wonka?
Sure.
Very talented actor, 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How about the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
All right, go to kevinandbean.com. You can check out some of these videos. The first one is... what are you doing? Why are you changing that?
I don't know. That was...
I don't know what Muggs is doing here.
I don't know what either of you are doing. I'm very confused myself right now.
6'11", yes. Right. But then that's then if I do that, it's going to go like this.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Blood, your shirt and drop it.
What are you doing?
You guys got to start coming to the meetings.
Stop screwing me up. All right. Let's start again. Here are some of our favorite videos online. One of them is David Mamet's Lost Masterpieces of Pornography.
And what is that?
It's comedy on, I think, Funny or Die. And it's
Funny or Die, right.
And I was asking Dave, this doesn't look that funny to me. And then I realized Kristen Bell was in it.
Kristen Bell was in it in lingerie, and that's why it ended up in the Internet Roundup. You can watch this one with the sound down, and it won't matter because she's so hot.
Okay. Yes. There's also a girl that drives her car straight up over a toll booth. You know those giant cement dividers that divide the lanes? She goes full speed right up one of those. And shoots off into the air.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
Was that on purpose?
Who knows?
No, I think she was drunk.
Oh,
but
my God.
Where's the landing video? That's what everybody wants to see. I just don't know if that toll plaza has one installed. But, man, I want to see what happens to her after that. It's the speed at which she's approaching that toll, it's clear that she's not even aware that there's a toll booth in front of her, Lisa. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And then you have to see the weightlifter who pukes on the judge. There's a weightlifting competition. And he's got like 1,000 pounds.
Oh, dear God.
And I've never seen this before, but there's only one judge, and he's sitting, I don't know, 3 feet in front of the weightlifter. Like, right in front of him.
Yeah.
The guy has 1,000 pounds on his shoulders, and you just, boom, right at the judge.
I won't watch that
Bean,
one.
I will.
Let me tell you, vomit fan.
But let me tell you why, Bean. Because it's not just the vomit. It's also then he face plants.
Oh,
he just passes out. Passes out and falls right on his face.
Oh, well, man.
You will laugh.
To see that.
That's what I'm saying. You'll laugh.
Okay.
All right. There's also one up of the world's best drummer. Now, this guy is in a cover band. He's in a wedding band. He's playing a, you know, I don't know, whatever. wedding bands play weddings. And they're doing Sharp Dress Man, I think, which is an old ZZ Top song. And he is in gold lame and just fancy and drumming with all different parts of the drumsticks.
Wow,
and just
putting on a show.
Way putting on, like, he's way out crazy compared to the band. More of a visual, really, I would guess. But you have to
see it.
He may
be enjoying himself more than anybody else in the world at that moment.
Yeah. No one should ever enjoy themselves that much. And he's having so much fun. That's just, to him, he is the best drummer in the world, and that's the biggest moment in the world.
You got to see it, though. It's a real visual.
There's a leaked iPhone 4 ad with Jane Lynch.
I've seen
this. Did you see this one?
Yes.
Where she kind of mocks the whole Mac PC commercial?
Yes.
Hello, I'm the new iPhone.
And I'm Jane Lynch.
I have a camera on the front so I can see myself take pictures.
Oh, I've always had a camera on my front, but I tell people it's a third nipple so they don't feel less than.
Great news. You can now use multiple apps with me at the same time.
Oh, I used to always have multiple apps. God, I miss the 90s.
So, she's so good.
That's funny. That's, of course, Sue Sylvester on Glee.
Yes.
Salma Hayek. I don't think I've ever seen a celebrity like this before. She is on the set and a talk show, morning show, whatever, and there's a snake. Now, I know people are scared of snakes. I'm scared of snakes. I don't know. She jumps and screams, and it's not enough to stand on her own chair. She crawls onto the chair of the person next to her. And it's the scream and the fear is unnatural. It's like she was in World War II, and the enemy has just broken through the door, and they're just about to shoot her. She's out of her freaking mind.
Wow.
And then somebody has to come pick her up and carry her off.
That's embarrassing. I
know it's not the type of thing that you necessarily think through. It's a gut instant reaction for Salma Hayek. But snakes rarely come after you in attack. I mean, she's going to be fine, right?
Especially if you get up on a chair. You're good.
You're good, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was funny. Her chair was
she
not enough.
She just lost it.
You know who Fabrice is, Bean? Because I was not aware.
He is an alter ego comedic character for Nick Kroll, who does a bunch of characters. This is the one that he does, and sometimes they use him on red carpets, do celebrity interviews and that sort of thing.
He was at the MTV Movie Awards.
Zach, I have one question for you. What's it like to have everybody wanting to f*** you?
Hello. Who are you? You're mysterious.
I'm Fabrice, the craft services coordinator from the movie Get Him to the Greek.
Yeah, a lot of the food was below par.
Thank you.
It was lackluster.
Thank you.
I found pubic hair in some of the snacks.
Miranda, you're on the show iCarly, right?
Yeah, I am.
Why aren't you slutty like Miley Cyrus?
Oh, my God.
By the way, these poor celebrities that have to do these press lines, and that was at the MTV Movie Awards, every yahoo who thinks he's funny is there trying to talk to him.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
No fun.
Including people from our show most of the time.
Sure.
The next one is timely. Now, that's what I like about it. It's a remix of Saved by the Bell, the TV show.
Yeah.
And they've done it Brokeback Mountain style. So they've taken old video from that TV show, and they've formatted it so that it has the music and the feel of Brokeback Mountain.
Which is a
timely as today's headlines.
Okay.
It's 5-6 years ago? I don't remember.
Hey, come on. Don't spread it around. You kill my image.
Who cares?
I'm yours. Do you promise not to tell any of the guys?
You could also keep it between you and me and the curtain if you do a little something for me.
See? I can't wait to see you in those tights, Preppy.
See, because they took all the lines that might be interpreted as gay.
See, because Slater and Zach are very much in love in this montage.
Right. It took this person a long time to get around to it, but thank God he finally did because we really need it. I don't I don't remember where this dude is, but there's a weatherman.
Texas,
who raps. He's the rapping weatherman. And he's a white guy, and he puts on shades, and he pulls a microphone out of his coat jacket, and then it looks like on Fridays or something like that, he literally raps the weather.
It'll be partly cloudy, but one thing is clear. Fox 4 Good Day kicks derriere. One is for the money, two is for the show, three is for the frizz factor. Today it's terrible. And four is for Fox, five is for watch. Our show 5 days a week from 6 through 8 o'clock. Because 9 is the time that Good Day ends, and the last number's for Diane because she is a 10. And Mike McNeil will have you full of laughter, so don't watch him on a full blast. better. And my weather rhymes are so hot this morning.
All right. And then he goes on and on and on. It's like 5 minutes.
He's good,
wow,
though.
Wow, are white people embarrassing.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, but it's not that he's a good rapper, but he puts together some good rhymes. It's hard to do the weather.
It is strangely good.
Yeah.
But really bad.
But I think he's poking fun at himself, too.
I think so. But then they keep cutting, like, to the host, the anchors.
Like the anchors, yeah.
And they're dancing, and they just think he's the funniest thing that they've ever seen in their entire lives. And finally, the best cry ever. Bean, explain where we got the best cry ever from. Was that Intervention?
I think it was from the TV show Intervention. Yeah, it was just one of those tender moments where, you know, some guys were really stripping some real emotions on the program, and one guy's telling the other guy he still loves, and the other guy's just bawling his eyes out. But you heard that cry. Yeah, you heard that cry, and it's anguish. It's just pain. But it instantly, all over the internet, everybody took that and did remixes with it and put it to auto-tune.
Do you have the auto-tune one?
Now they're combining a whole bunch of other stuff, but oh my, I think I do, yeah. It's so funny, though. Here's the auto-tune of the best cry ever.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
This is a real cry, by the way.
So what do we have on the internet roundup? What have they done to it now?
They've remixed that with Big Booty Bitches.
All right.
So we got the best cry ever, Big Booty Bitches remix. You can find them at kevinandbean.com in the internet roundup. There's nothing.
Oh my God.
There's nothing that can't be made better by remixing.
I know.
Remix is very, very important in our society. So go to kevinandbean.com, internet roundup, and we'll have a new batch for you soon.
There are a few events in everyone's life where they will never forget where they were when they heard the news. I don't know if it's like this for you guys, but when Michael Jackson died, almost exactly a year ago now, this month, last year, I remember very specifically how I got the news, and I don't know that I'll ever forget it.
I don't at all. Not
really?
A bit. Nope. Not a bit.
Well, a lot of people are remembering him as the anniversary comes up, which I think is on the 26th, and there's a lot of news surrounding that upcoming anniversary. So let's find out straight from Michael himself. Let's dial up the hotline to heaven and get his take on all the things that are happening here on Earth.
Michael?
Get out!
How are you, buddy?
I'm bad.
You're not back. You're still dead.
I think he's bad.
Bad.
Oh,
sorry.
I'll never forget where I was when I heard Michael Jackson pass.
Is that right? Yeah. Where were you?
Dying.
In your bed?
I was overdosing on propofol.
Yeah.
That's a bad way to go.
Murray was taking a call in the hallway.
I heard that he was on the phone, yeah.
It was one of those sex chat lines.
I don't think that's ever been proven, but...
Well, I just proved it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of a dick move to hook you up to all that propofol and then just step out, right?
That's what I thought.
Right.
Like, hey, how about keeping a brother alive? That's what I said.
So, Michael, have you adjusted okay almost a year in heaven now? Do you feel like you know your way around the place? Are you comfortable? Do you like it?
Well, they give you a map
when
you get there, and it says you are here.
Right.
And then you can find the gap from there, or
you have a gap?
Mrs. Fields,
or
Auntie Anne's Pretzels, or the food court. I mean, they have like a directory.
So. I'll bet the food court's good there.
Oh, Cinnabons every day.
Oh, that's
the
best.
The smell of Cinnabons just filling your nose.
I love that.
And you never get fat.
Yeah, that's the best thing about it, I guess.
Of course, I couldn't anyway.
Right.
I weighed like 8 pounds.
That's true.
Sure. All right, so let's talk about this concert that's coming up on the one-year anniversary of your death. It's being advertised as being at the Beverly Hilton Hotel.
Yes.
And
room 309.
I don't think it's in a room. maybe.
I thought it was going to be in a room.
No.
They're saying a portion of the proceeds for this event will be presented to some of Michael Jackson's favorite charities.
Oh,
however,
good.
Well.
I can't wait to see all the people performing, the Jacksons. I'm sure we'll be there, and my mom and dad will be there, and Janet, I'm sure we'll do a couple
members. The Jackson Family Foundation and VoicePlate.com are the two groups that are throwing it, but apparently they're saying all of your family's going to be there.
Great. That's going to be amazing.
Your mom has said she's going to be out of town. She's not going, and it sounds like you don't have they talked to your lawyer, and apparently they don't have the rights to play your music or use your likeness.
Come again now?
They don't have anything to do. Your family has nothing to do with this.
So... There's not going to be any Jacksons at the Michael Jackson Memorial?
No, it doesn't sound like it.
I don't think so.
It's just going to be your fat fans from England.
So it's forever Jackson?
Yes.
Jackson's not included?
The one Jackson that's gone.
I won't be there.
But that you're, but they're celebrating you at $150 a ticket.
Well, what is the event then?
They're going to play some music.
Celine Dion going to sing?
Nope. I don't think anyone's going to sing. I think they're just going to play your music. It's going to be a room of people playing your music.
Room 309. They're going to bring a cooler of beer and maybe some liverwurst. Yeah.
What it sounds like, Michael, and I don't want to cast aspersions here, is it just sounds like somebody's using your good name to make a bunch of money and then split town.
Well, that's horrible. So none of the money's going to go to my favorite charity?
What's your favorite charity?
National Association for Prepubescent Panda Elimination.
It doesn't
also
say
known as Nappy.
It doesn't list that in the story we're reading.
But how are we going to take pants off of little boys then without raising that kind of money for charity?
Wait a minute, that's... What do you mean, take...
Is that what Nappy's all about?
National Association of Prepubescent Pant Elimination.
I see.
Don't you goddamn listen to jokes?
Not very closely, no.
I don't dance, you know. I'm dead.
Right,
this is
all
I got.
You used to dance well, but now this is it. All right, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Pants Elimination.
Yeah.
Nappy. All right, Mike.
Yesterday we talked to Petros Papadakis about the USC sanctions, and now he's in Hawaii. And by the way, Kevin, he did live up to his promise to tweet some side boob for us. He did do that last night.
Of his own?
Of his own side boob.
Well,
yeah.
He has a hot wife. Why is he doing that?
I know. I think he misunderstood our request. Oh. So he's on vacation. Meanwhile, his radio partner and sometimes lover, Matt Money Smith, joins us on the phone now on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hey, Money, how are you, brother?
It's a good side boob, isn't it?
I didn't see it, and I hope not to.
So, Money, where do we start? There's so much going on right now. What we mentioned earlier, you'd have thought you were watching two different NBA Finals games last night between how flat and listless the first half was versus how exciting and action-packed the second half was. What happens? How does that switch get flipped at halftime?
Well, I think what happened with the Celtics is they got all that energy from the bench, you know, and they got it from, you know, Fat Boy and Midget.
Midget both played well.
Yeah, those dudes.
Fat Boy is he's quick for fat.
He is. He's very quick. It's funny, you know, when he originally said, "Oh, you know, I really would like to have an NFL career," and we were like, "Are you just because you're fat doesn't mean you can play football?"
Right.
But then you see his footwork and how quick he moves that body of his, and you start wondering, man, he actually might end up making a whole mess of cash as an offensive lineman. He really does move well. I thought Kenny Smith made a good point last night after the game when he said, you know, he's not a poor man's Charles Barkley. He's an absolutely dead, broke, and bankrupt man's Charles Barkley. just because, he doesn't have that size. He doesn't get his rebounds and do his damage inside by length, but by lateral movement and knowing how to throw his body around to get people off of him.
Now, Money, I don't remember ever seeing this before, but there was twice in the second half where the coach for the Celtics had his starters out. And he sent him into the game, and they went over the scorer's table. And then the bench players were doing so well, he called them back and said, "Yeah, you know what, just sit for a bit."
I'll tell you, that's a big credit to Doc. You know, it really is, because a lot of times what coaches will do...
Doc is our coach.
I'm sorry, Doc Rivers, yeah, the head coach of the...
He's not a doctor, by the way. I checked into it.
Yeah, no, I don't know how I got the name doctor either.
Thank you.
But he, you know, most coaches will just say, hey, the bench did their job. They brought us back into this game, or they maintained our lead. Now I got to put my guys back in there. But he's one of the few that is willing to just continue to go with the hot hand, no matter what their stature is on the team.
Even if
it's
Fat Guy or Midget Guy.
Fat Guy and Midget, man. And, and remember, in 2008, this exact game happened to the Lakers. I want to say it was game two. It was Leon Poe, who had like 9 knee operations, and Eddie House out of Arizona State, who scored 50 points in a college game, but up to that point was just kind of a journeyman that had made his way from team to team around the NBA, and I think the two of them combined to stick the Lakers for like 35 points. And it's very similar to what happened last night, where the Lakers bench once again came up empty, and these two dudes essentially got the Celtics this victory.
Yeah.
And by the way, another thing about Big Baby, it's funny you talk about him having an interest in football also.
That's Fat
Don't
Guy.
Forget, Don't forget, he also starred with Sandra Bullock in The Blind Side. I mean, it's incredible that he can juggle that Hollywood career and still play professional sports.
You know, I can't figure out. Everyone I talk to says he really is, like, one of the best guys.
I got to tell you, I really hate the Celtics, but I get the idea that he is, and I kind of like him.
See, I'm the opposite. The only thing I can think of is I must really hate fat people. Because I can't stand him. And by all accounts, I should really like the way he plays. I mean, he plays hard. He's fun to watch. He's different than anyone else in the NBA, but there's something about... I mean, the guy was drooling on the court.
He was drooling.
He was drooling so much.
He looked like a huge dog was just drooling all over the place. His mouth
like
was wide open.
Yeah. Besides Kobe, and he got so hot with those three-pointers for a while there, it almost looked like he didn't want Ray Allen to have that finals record for most three-pointers. For a while, it looked like that's all he was going for. Like, he was going out of his way to shoot three-pointers. But besides him, what positives did you see? Who were you happy with on the Lakers last night?
Well, I think Powell continued to play well.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he's been the most consistent Laker through the entire postseason. That includes Kobe, but... You know, last night I think one of the troubling signs we saw from Powell was, you know, what plagued him in 2008. You know, the Lakers, I think, waited 9.5 minutes to get their first rebound in the fourth quarter. And that's a bit disconcerting, you know, when you consider it was them getting pushed around when they didn't have Bynum. And that happened last night. You know, the Celtics crushed them on the boards. I think they won that by 11. Points in the paint by 20. Second chance points by 10. I mean, those are just numbers you can't have if you want to get a victory. Now, look, I think the way you look at it is the Lakers were not – I didn't anticipate the Lakers were going to win 2 out of 3 in Boston. I think based on them winning game 3, people started to get it in their heads that maybe they could go up 3-1, that they are the better team. The Celtics are old, and every game they play is tougher on them. But, you know, I think you just kind of have to look at this series and what the characteristics have been, and it's that no team has won 2 games in a row. No team has really dominated a game with the exception of the Lakers in game 1. So to think they could go up 3-1 by winning 2 games in Boston is just unrealistic.
But it's what we wanted.
Sure.
So the next game is Sunday, right? They're in Boston, and then there's 2 at home.
Yes, 2. It goes Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday.
All right,
so
and it's
Sunday
2-2.
Boston, it's that stupid 2-3-2 format.
Yeah, I don't like it either, but...
Hey, at least the NBA is trying hard to get the finals done by the 4th of July with this schedule.
God.
My God. All right, we only have a minute left. Matt Money Smith on the phone from Fox Sports Radio. You hear him every afternoon with Petros and the Petros and Money Show on 570 AM if you're listening in Southern California. World Cup. Do you share the level of excitement that Kevin and I have, or are you more like Ralph who really can't wait for it to be over and don't get it?
Now, wait a minute. We talk about a local basketball team for 10 minutes, and then we talk about the nation's pride.
Hey, we're out of time. What about that World Cup?
Up against England, those freaking blokes, and we get 60 seconds.
And plus, we have Waka Waka that we have to play.
Oh,
so.
God. But, you know, I just kind of like that. I love it. Yeah, the World Cup is the best. It's the best time in the world for sports. I like it more than anything else. I think people are going to be surprised at how sucked in they get. You can only hope that the U.S. does well in group and gets out of group and at least makes it to the knockout stage. If they don't, it'll be a tremendous disappointment, and people will say once again they got hyped up on soccer and it did not deliver. The match tomorrow is going to be tough.
What that means for those that don't watch soccer is the group stage, you can lose and still be in the tournament. And then you get to a knockout stage, you lose, you're out.
You got to be one of the top two teams in your 4-team group. The game tomorrow, I think, is going to match tomorrow is going to be great, just because of the emotion. I think, you know, with England, England typically starts kind of slow, and then they pick it up, and then they exit prematurely and crush the nation's hopes. So hopefully they start a little bit slow.
It's kind of like me and sex. Kind of the same thing.
The U.S. team has that extra motivation because it's England and might be able to get a draw. They are outmanned at every single position. They have no business being within 2 goals at the final result here. But,
how dare you?
You know, emotion can take over, and they do have some. I mean, Clint Dempsey has a penchant for the dramatic. Landon Donovan proved he can play on the big stage with his stint at Everton in the English Premier League, and they do have, you know, one of the best goaltenders in the world in Tim Howard. So there is the possibility that all things could work out for them.
I don't think U.S. soccer fans, you know, and of course there are a lot more of them now than there used to be. I don't think they think much about the game in 1950 where the U.S. beat England in the World Cup. But I guarantee in the U.K. there is institutional memory, and they have been waiting 50 years for revenge against the U.S.
Oh, understand that they're nuts. I mean, they're insane. It really is. Think of every possible amount of pressure that has ever been put on a sports franchise and multiply it by 7,000. And that's what you get with the tabloids over in the UK and how they just, for some reason, try to dismantle the soccer team's hopes before they even play a single match.
So if the U.S. beats them, they all get killed?
It's mass suicide. They don't have to get killed because they'll take their own lives, Kevin. They won't want to go back home.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, the first game is in about 15 minutes, South Africa versus Mexico. And, of course, we've got a few weeks of fantastic soccer action coming at us from South Africa. Matt Money-Smith, have a great weekend, man. It's always great to talk to you on the Kevin DeBean Show. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
This is the Kevin DeBean Show on a Friday. Ralph will have the movie beat for you next hour. He's here right now with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to the showbiz news, I want to give you a heads up. As you know, we've been trying to raise money to help out Annabelle Ward and her daughter, Ayanna, who were victims of a hit-and-run accident back in 2008. Annabelle still can't walk. She's got all kinds of medical issues because of the accident. She lost her job and her home and her car, and so we've been trying to help her out. We're trying to do some long-term good as well, trying to get her some new medical assistance, trying to see if we can find her a reasonable car that she can get to the doctors with and pick up her medication and stuff like that. But above and beyond that, we're trying to raise a little cash so she has some breathing room. And one of the things that I've been able to put together is going to happen this Sunday. So I want to give you the heads up. I'm giving a shout out to my people. And I don't mean the drunken Irish Americans of the world. I mean the comic book fans.
Oh, those people.
Comic book readers, Kevin. I prefer to call them comic book readers.
Right, but they're
not dorks
to the rest of us.
Or geeks or anything. These are very...
losers. You're talking about losers who live with their mom.
High IQ, high profile, high income professionals who happen to enjoy the entertainment that can be found within the pages of a comic book.
All right.
There is a comic book store in Studio City, which, of course, is where the accident happened. And it's also my hood, called DJ's Universal Comics. And they are having a grand reopening because they've moved locations. And so this Sunday is their grand reopening. I'm going to be there from noon to 3 during the day. So come down and say hi. But what the owners of the DJ's Universal Comics are doing is they said if I come by and invite the listeners to stop by, they will donate 10% of all that day's proceeds to Annabelle. All the sales they make for Sunday, 10% of those sales will be donated to Annabelle and her daughter, which is very cool of them to do. So I'd love to have you stop by if you're a comic book fan. This just
even if you're not.
On top of everything else, it's a great joint. I mean, they've got new comics and back issues and all kinds of collectibles and stuff. So if you're a comic book fan, come on down. And like Kevin said, even if you're not, come down and buy something, because 10% of whatever you buy will go towards Annabelle. So it's DJ's Universal Comics is the name of it. It's near Universal Studios. It is on Ventura Boulevard, where Tahunga meets Ventura Boulevard. It dead ends right there into this little mini mall. On the second floor, Unit 9 is where DJ's is. 11390 Ventura Boulevard, Studio City, California. Doors open at 11. I'll be there around noon till around 3 in the afternoon. So come on by and say hi and help me out. Help me raise some money for this very nice lady and her daughter, because they're going through a tough time. So is birthday boy Shia LaBeouf.
Uh-oh.
Today is his birthday.
Now
he is 24 years old today. Apparently, he's been having a conversation this week with the law enforcement officials, better known as police. Well, here's the thing.
How's that going?
He was at his house Wednesday, and he realized that the paparazzi were swarming around his house. And he realized the only way to stop this one particular paparazzo from snapping photos of him was to take his camera out of the equation. So he helped himself to his camera equipment.
Okay.
And then went back into his house. Turns out, regardless of what you think about the paparazzi, you really can't steal their cameras.
You can't take them?
You can't really take them.
I thought that was fair game.
Police were called, and Shia had a little conversation with them, gave up the camera. They didn't arrest him. An unnamed official said, "We handle each incident on a case-by-case basis," which is their way of saying these guys are douchebags, but we had to get the camera back, although we didn't want to arrest Shia LaBeouf. So he has had a few run-ins with the paparazzi recently, Shia has. And
I honestly don't know how this doesn't happen more. I really don't, because they seem to just get in the faces.
Yeah, they really try to provoke them.
It would be terrible to be that kind of in that position.
In April, Shia was approached by a photographer while he was filling up at a gas station, and he said, "If you follow me all day, I'm going to F you up."
Yeah. All right, he gave warning.
Then he called in a giant truck that turned into a robot and stomped the paparazzi. So he was not kidding around.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
It is. Shia says he hopes he gets house arrest for this event because then he can look at the really hot chick who lives next door to him.
See? Oh, see, there you go. Right.
Interesting lists. You know, I love lists. This is the top 22 fictional characters whose names you don't know.
22?
Well,
this is a terrible list.
It's a great list because
it's a list of people none of us have heard of.
These are fictional characters you know, but you don't know their names.
Oh.
All right.
See? These are characters who you know and love, but you don't know their names. For example, you know the name of a comic book guy on The Simpsons? The guy who runs the comic book store?
No!
Worst episode ever.
No,
that guy?
No.
His name's Jeff Albertson.
Now, is this the real actor or
no,
the character?
No, the character's name.
Character.
Jeff Albertson is the owner of the comic book store in Springfield.
Do they use the name ever on the show?
I don't know. I'm assuming they do.
I'm going with no.
You know Captain Crunch's full name?
No.
See? That's why this list is
first
great.
First name Captain, last name Crunch.
No, he is a captain.
Oh.
His full name is Captain Horatio Magellan Crunch.
Wow.
See, you didn't know that. Now, that's a little piece of trivia, Kevin. Next time you're at a cocktail party and say, hey, you know Captain Crunch's full name is?
I couldn't answer that now.
It's right this second. Horatio Magellan.
That's his full name. Is, thanks for that info, Ralph. That's what this
is. No,
thing
it is. This is fascinating.
It's not even on the box. How would we ever know?
Have you ever read the entire box, Lisa?
No.
Well, then, how do you know it's not on the box?
Good point.
Kay. Snuffleupagus on Sesame Street. He's got a first name. I bet you didn't know that.
Steve.
Steve Snuffleupagus. No. Aloysius. Aloysius Snuffleupagus.
They all have such normal names.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Peppermint Patty in the Peanuts comic strip. Did you know she's got a last name?
Patty.
No. No, Peppermint is her nickname.
Oh.
Peppermint Patty, her name is Patricia Reichhardt.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
See, I bet you didn't know that.
Didn't?
See?
Here's the thing, though, Ralph. There's not knowing it and then not caring that you don't know.
How about Turtle on Entourage? You all know Turtle.
Sure.
Turtle's got a name. His name isn't Turtle. He's got a real name.
I knew this and I forgot.
Really?
See?
That's helpful. Muggs, thanks.
Mug knew it, but then he forgot. I'm here to remind
too,
him.
Oh, I know.
While we're lying.
You know it? You know it, Mug?
Sal.
Salvatore Asante is his name.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
See, this stuff is great. This is stuff you can use. You people don't appreciate knowledge.
Before you go to the birthdays, we want to sell for the Oh, no, never mind. We don't have to do that. Back to you, Ralph.
All right. Hey, okay. I may be rattling off names of people you don't know, but I'm not stopping the showbiz beat for nothing.
I know. We're going to give
I
away
that much.
A trip to the bummer shoot, but I forgot we already had our contestants.
Okay.
I apologize.
Good. Asshole.
I know, so.
Congratulations to my friends over there on the Cleveland Show, the Family Guy spinoff. Fox just announced today they are picking it up for a third season.
No, thanks for that info, Ralph.
That's actual news. That's an actual story.
All right.
Shooting for the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie begins this month in Hawaii. Daily Variety says Johnny Depp is back as Captain Jack Sparrow. Jeffrey Rush will return as well, playing Captain Barbosa. You know Captain Barbosa's first name?
Captain.
No, Hector. Captain Hector Barbosa.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Ian McShane will also star in the film along with Penelope Cruz.
Ooh, right.
And if you didn't have enough reasons to hate the World Cup, here's another.
How dare you?
The national, not the national anthem, but the anthem for England's soccer team. You know
yes.
what it is?
Uh-huh. Nope.
Did you know what it is, Kevin?
Nope.
Tears for Fears, Hit Shout.
What?
It just announces the official song of the,
really?
of the British national team.
What?
Oh,
shout,
awesome.
Shout. Let it all out.
How do you
These
go?
Are the things I can do without. Come on.
How do you go
I'm
back to that?
I'm talking to you. Come on.
That's a terrible choice.
Well, because it's a terrible sport.
How dare you?
Let's take a look today, celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Gene Wilder is 77 years old today. You know what Gene Wilder's real name is?
Gene Wilder.
That's right. Joe Montana, NBA, what? NFL legend. He is 54 years old today. Actor Hugh Laurie, of course, the star of House, is 51. Joshua Jackson, woo-hoo! He is for real. He is 32 years old. And Shia LaBeouf, as I mentioned, celebrates his 24th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
If there's anything I've learned, it's that guys are pretty clueless when it comes to the ladies. And the folks over at Axe understand it's important to pay attention to the details when it comes to dating. That's why they came out with Axe Rise Morning Shower Gel so you can wake up and stay alert. What does this mean to you, the consumer? It means that every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, thanks to Axe, we're giving away a trip to see another music festival across the country. Today, up for grabs is Bumper Shoot in Seattle. Weezer, Hole, Rise Against, and just for you, Kevin, Bob Dylan. Just some of the names. Labor Day weekend. So that's what we got going on right now. Let's try to give away a trip for a blind date. It's Kevin and Bean's Wake Up Call.
I'll wake you up, and then you'll go. You will go see a rock and roll, a show.
Nope.
I'll wake you up, and then you'll go. What you don't have to go is so low. I'll wake you up,
Let's meet our beautiful bachelorette. She is Jessica. Now, on paper, she's unemployed and lives in Riverside, so it doesn't sound like she's got much to recommend her. But Jessica,
you got big boobs.
You assure me that you're a good time for whoever gets picked today, right?
I definitely do.
All right. All right. So you know how it works, Jessica. You've been here in the game this week. We're going to talk to a couple of bachelors for you. I think we had trouble getting a hold of one of them. Do we just have two bachelors?
That's correct.
Two guys on the line this time? Okay.
Now
so
you're going to listen.
You
know,
one of them
saw Riverside and he just hung up.
I just moved from San Diego back to Riverside.
Why?
Wow, is that the worst move ever?
You are a poor decision maker. What's going on with you?
You were living in San Diego?
Family stuff came up, so I needed to come back.
You said, I really miss the dirt. I miss dirt. I need more dirt in my life.
Maybe in those beautiful city in California.
Oh, it's so green. I hate green.
There's not enough meth labs here.
It's really not brown enough.
It's definitely been really hard, so.
Yeah, that's what she said. Don't change your cell phone number, though. Keep that 619 area code as long as you can, okay?
All right,
let's see who's in the running to join you for a fun-filled weekend in Seattle. It's going to be Justin first. He is on line 7. He is bachelor number 1. Hey, Justin, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
Hey, what it do?
Ralph's got a question that's going to maybe tell Jessica a little bit more about you, so listen up.
Let's look into your psyche, Justin. If you could live the life of any celebrity of the opposite sex for a week, which one would you choose and why? You have to pick a female celebrity to walk in her shoes for a week.
Let's see. I guess it'd have to be, this is a tough one.
It is, but it'll tell us a lot about
opposite
you.
Opposite sex.
Got to pick a celebrity of the opposite sex to live as for a week.
Definitely would have to be...
Susan Boyle.
Not Susan Boyle.
No. Meg Ryan.
Wow.
Definitely.
I'm dying to know why.
Me too.
I have no idea why either. It just popped into my head.
Is that first woman you could think of?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Oh, I wish I was a has-been with bad plastic surgery.
Meg Ryan. I would have put $1 million against her being in the top 1,000.
Now, maybe Meg Ryan, if you also got a time machine as part of the deal, so you could go back before all the bad plastic surgery decisions. But okay, I mean, if that's the answer you're sticking with, Justin, we'll let you hang yourself
all
with
right.
that.
All right, we learned something about Justin.
He is not He's good odd. In pressure situations. Let's try Bachelor number 2. This is Joshua as we continue with the all-J theme on the Kevin and Bean Wake Up Call. Hey, Joshua, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Good,
Joshua.
Doing fine. Listen up. Here's your question from Ralph.
I can't believe you said Meg
Ryan. We're puzzled by that.
Neither can we, honestly.
It's a strange choice.
But here's your personality question. We'll see how you fare. If you could be a guaranteed success, what one job or profession would you choose to do for the rest of your life?
I grew up doing music, so I guess it'd be an entertainer,
musician?
Performing and touring and living the life.
All right.
Living life rock star. Makes sense.
What do? You sing, play guitar? What's your musical poison?
All of the above. You know, I kind of grew up in a music family. My dad plays guitar, and I just kind of grew up around music and learned how to play guitar, bass, piano. I can sing a bit.
Wow, nice.
You weren't in Tavares, were you?
No.
Wow. That's a wild guess.
Can we put that in the file?
That's a great, really great question. That can't go into the file fast enough.
He's going back to the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Nope and a half.
Let's go to Jessica, our bachelorette. She heard Joshua's pretty good answer and Justin's fail whale. What do you think there, Jess? Who are you going to pick?
I'm going to go with Joshua.
Oh,
what a surprise.
What a surprise that is. Hey, Joshua, congratulations. You and your new date, Jessica, are heading to Seattle, Washington for Labor Day weekend to see the bumper shoot. Congratulations to both of you. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks to Axe Rise Morning Shower Gel. Help to wake up and stay alert.
Well said. I'll wake you up,
and then you go. Time for the movie beat. Here's Ralph.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, folks, it has been a disappointing year for movies this summer. A lot of blockbusters that they expect we're going to blow up have fizzled.
Iron Man 2, really the only exception in terms of anticipation for return. Shrek, of course, has been a juggernaut as well. Other films are sort of disappointing. Well, there's some new ones this weekend that may change your mind. The A-Team, for example.
Oh,
we'll talk about that in a minute. But let's start off with one of the smaller films opening up this weekend in selected theaters near you. It is a documentary about the life and career of Joan Rivers.
Nope.
Let's make this clear. The only documentary I want to see about Joan Rivers is the autopsy film. But this one features her and her annoying daughter, Melissa, and other people talking about her career. And look, I understand. For instance, Kathy Griffin, a friend of mine, funny lady, loves Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
Because she looks at her as a pioneer.
She was.
This was a woman who was doing stand-up when there were no women doing stand-up. And so she you know, cleared a path for all the women of her to follow.
And they tell me she used to be funny. She's
That's
been
what
old
I heard
and
as
not
well.
Funny since I ever been born.
That's what... What?
You heard me. Since I was born. She's been old and not funny.
All that being said, not funny anymore. Annoying and sort of abrasive and obnoxious.
How dare you? How dare you say that? Aren't you stupid? Because already say that,
well,
son of a bitch.
Oh, well, now you're just calling me names. That doesn't seem right. Here's a clip from the documentary where Joan is showing off her collection of jokes.
These are jokes over the last 30 years. These are just, every time I write a joke, I try to remember to get it on a card. Why should a woman cook so her husband can say, my wife makes a delicious cake to some hooker? And you wonder why I'm still working at this age.
No, I wonder why you saved that one on a card.
Is it legal to show this movie within the U.S., or do you have to go to Guantanamo to be able to watch it?
I find that despicable.
Oh,
I find that disgusting.
Joan.
Naughty, naughty, naughty.
She just spit on us.
She did just spit.
Also opening this weekend, The Karate Kid.
Yes!
Here's this thing about The Karate Kid. I am a big fan of the original Karate Kid. I think a lot of us are because you've been able to see it on television for years now. It is a classic tale of a young boy, Daniel Russo, played by Ralph Macchio, who moves from his hometown in New Jersey to the valley here in Southern California. He's the ultimate fish out of water. Doesn't really get along with anyone. Has a crush on a girl. Gets bullied by other kids at school. And he strikes up a surprising friendship with an older Asian American played by Pat Morita in the original. And the guy teaches him karate, which teaches him not only to defend himself, but teaches him a little something about who he is inside. This is a small story that all of us can relate to. Have you ever felt out of place or you moved to a new town or a new school?
If you haven't seen it, it's so worth renting. It's
a great film. It really is. So they said they're going to remake it. And I said, that might not be a good idea. But now I realize the new take on The Karate Kid is, how can we F this story up in every possible way? And I said, that's refreshing. At least they're going in looking to pee all over this project and put stink all over it.
How do they stink it up? What's the...
Well, first of all, they've changed the premise to Dre Parker, played by Jaden Smith, Will Smith's kid, moves from Detroit to China. He's really a fish out of water.
Wow.
He moves to China.
And they know how to fight, and he doesn't.
And he gets bullied by Asian kids in China who know martial arts.
At which point you move back to Detroit.
Right. Here's the basic problem with this film. If you're teaching black kid from Detroit martial arts, and he's going up against the Asian kids in China, he gets his ass kicked every time. I don't care who's teaching him. In this case, it's Jackie Chan, who teaches him kung fu. Which is fascinating, because the movie's called The Karate Kid.
It's
not the Kung Fu Kid. It's The Karate Kid. So let's just change the form of martial arts we teach in this movie as well.
We can all relate to moving to China, Ralph.
No, we can't.
Oh, man, we can.
And then, on top of it, for some reason, they dress the kid like Milli Vanilli.
Yeah, that happened.
Why is Jaden Smith got to look like Little Vanilli? Or Little Vanilli.
Whichever one.
What's with the hair? And you know that's Jada Pinkett Smith's choice. You know she did that to him.
Sure.
If he tries to do kung fu and whatever, he will put an eye out because one of those beads from his dreads will hit him in the eye. If he doesn't get his skull caved in by some really strong Asian kung fu kid
in the
tournament of this movie,
right.
I'm going to burn the screen. I'm going to set the screen on fire. There's no way this kid comes
yes,
in 3
does.
Weeks. Jackie Chan teaches him to fight against kids who are Asian. You know what Asians are good at? Math and kicking your ass.
Now, this is good news for Hilary Swank, who no longer will be the star of the worst Karate Kid movie, though.
That's absolutely true. Here's Mr. Han in the new Karate Kid, played by Jackie Chan, who was teaching his student Dre about focus while he teaches him kung fu, even though it's the Karate Kid.
You've got to teach me that, like, how to control people.
There's only one person you need to learn how to control.
Who?
Empty your mind. Flow with my movement. Connect to the energy around you.
I kind of just want to learn the Cobra thing.
Cobra takes a lifetime. It requires great focus.
But I have great focus.
Christmas, huh?
Your focus needs more focus.
Your focus needs more focus.
Okay.
Seriously.
Was jerk that... it off, jerk it off, is what we were told by a listener yesterday. That's what they say instead of wax on, wax off in this movie, Ralph.
Well, he puts the jacket
puts on.
A
jacket, yeah. It's not jerk. It's jacket.
Oh, is it jacket on, jacket off?
He's talking about a jacket. Yes, not...
Very different. Jacket on, okay. Jacket off is what he was saying.
I think it was something like that.
Not jerk it off.
No. I couldn't remember. Maybe that was the porn
on,
remake I
jacket
saw.
Jacket off.
You already saw the porn remake.
Screw this movie.
So no and a half on
A-Team,
this one.
A-Team, now we're talking about
the movie. Getting somewhere.
The cheesy TV series from the 80s becomes a big-budget, big-screen action-adventure starring Liam Neeson, Bradley Cooper, Sharlto Copley, and Rampage.
Ralph, we found out yesterday that Bean's never seen one episode of the A-Team.
Oh. Why does that not surprise me?
Possible.
He didn't have a TV in the 70s
and
80s.
That doesn't explain why Happy Days is his favorite show and he's seen every episode of MASH.
I don't know.
And Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah, you can freaking catch up. Turns out, if you have a TV, you can catch up on other shows.
This looks great, though.
See, you made me all
angry. I know, sorry.
Here is B.A. Baracus, played by Quentin Rampage Jackson. He wakes up in a flying tank. In this scene from the A-Team, you seen that tank coming down on the
yes, it looks awesome.
The parachute looks awesome. They start firing from it. This looks like a good time at the movies. Here's a clip.
Everybody's on that plane.
We ain't on that plane.
Hey, Bosco, a little stuffy. I'm going to pop a window. What you got? What you got? Yeah. Beautiful, the tank.
Because the plane exploded.
What? Where?
Recently.
Awesome.
I can't tell what's going on, but
they're shooting out of a tank in midair while it's falling on a parachute. That's all you need to know. Buy your popcorn, sit in the air conditioning, and watch the A-Team. That's my advice this weekend.
All right. Not Karate Kid. All right.
Don't even call Kung Fu Kid. I'm not even call it the Karate Kid. It's not the same. Kid sounds like a bad actor, too, besides having bad hair.
He does.
Just because your dad's Will Smith doesn't mean you're good. Stop it. God damn it. Ralph Garman, I walked the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
I don't want to give out any spoilers on the air because I know that there are many listeners who may be currently taping South Africa versus Mexico, so I'm not going to. I'm just saying the game's on. I would like some points for my restraint because
really?
You know, so often we get people complain that we, you know, spoil a show for them or something like that. I just want you to know I'm watching the game, not talking about it. So if you've got it on your DVR, you're safe to listen to this program and go home and watch it after work.
See, this is just being going, ha ha.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Oh, yeah.
There's a tiny little bit of that. I'm just saying, but I'm not going to say anything. Speaking of sports, though, I think we're working hard on getting Mr. Dana White on the phone. Lots going on with that dude. We need to talk to him about with the upcoming fight and the upcoming conclusion of the Ultimate Fighter TV show.
Yeah, UFC 115 is Chuck Liddell, one of the most beloved fighters ever.
Mm-hmm.
Who was also one of the coaches, of course, on that show. The Ultimate Fighter. I got to not remember that one. And it's going to be tomorrow night. That fight's going to be fantastic. So it's always fun to watch Chuck, the Iceman Liddell fight. He just is, how old is he now? Like 60. And
I believe he's around 60. I think that's
70?
Yes.
60?
Maybe 80.
Two? He's old, but in great shape and just scary as hell. Scares the hell out of me. And then Rich Ace Franklin is the guy he's going to be fighting. And be cool if we could talk to Dana. if we have some... questions about him. He's a Celtics fan, first of all.
Bring that up. He's
bad.
Our guest.
That's all wrong.
Hey, if Dana White's a Celtics fan, why have I not seen him courtsided every game? He's a guy who could afford to buy those seats and be at all the games if he wanted.
You know what? Maybe I know he's a Red Sox fan. I know he comes from there, but maybe he's not. Maybe he's just a casual Celtics fan.
It could be. Or
even
maybe
that,
he
though.
Is busy.
He does have a lot going on in his life.
Clearly he's busy right now.
But if you're a fan... Yeah, right now. But if you're a fan of the team, you'd think for the finals.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, I would think, but maybe he's not a big fan of the Celtics. All right. We don't have him, and it'd be cooler if we did. Don't you
so,
think?
So, Lisa, what's going on with you?
Well, you know, I had the whole emergency room vet thing.
Lisa's dog's trying to commit
night.
Suicide. We can talk about that.
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Lisa's dog really, really just wants the sweet
the
release of death.
This is the second dog that I have had to take to the emergency room to have its stomach pumped, and I'm a good dog owner.
Yeah.
Oh. And still this happened.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Lisa left out dog food, apparently.
I had some,
she said, here's the bag.
No,
have at.
No, there was a room that was being painted.
You're a dog. I feel like you're responsible enough to make your own decisions.
A room was being painted, and then there was a closet with the dog food, and then the closet got painted, and the dog food was put on the floor, which I didn't realize. And I went out last night and came home, and Liza was...
What kind of dog is she?
Ginormous. She's a Maltese. She used to weigh 10 pounds. I got home, she weighed 20.
Oh.
It was unbelievable. And just hard. Her stomach was hard as a rock. She could barely stand up.
She's trying to take her own life,
I mean, there
Lisa.
Are dogs who will eat themselves
to death. How
old is she? 13.
She's trying to take her own life. Oh. Let her go.
Lisa, yeah. did she leave a note?
Let her go.
No, she didn't.
It's a paw print and some poop.
She did leave some poop.
Honestly, though. Oh. Honestly. Let her go.
I will tell you. Let her go. I had this one moment. I took her to the emergency room, and we got to the point where they're like, we're going to have to pump her stomach. This is a $900 night, by the way.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it hurts.
Liza's not worth it.
And
let her go.
And there was this, you have to sign a thing. If your dog goes into cardiac arrest, should we resuscitate it? And I had one moment where I went,
No, you didn't.
Just for a moment. And then I signed, of course,
just
I want
let her
you
go.
To. Because she's not in there because she's like critically ill, you know, with like, I don't know,
cancer or
whatever.
She's in there because she wants to get out of your house. She doesn't like
God,
you.
It was awful.
You're not a good dog owner.
That's apparently. Very, you know what? You're right. Scary. I am a bad dog owner in every
very
way.
Scary. Just let her go. Yeah. Set her free. Take her to the pound. Whatever.
Just puppy say, late. It's okay. Go to the light.
Yes. Yeah. She doesn't want to be with you.
Well, there you've heard our predictions from Dana White, UFC president, about UFC 15. This has been an exclusive of the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the show Biz Beat on a Friday. Adam Carolla later on today with the Week in Rage as well. And a World Cup update just for you, Ralph. Minutes away.
Did they run up and down the grass field and then nobody score? Did that happen?
Why don't you save your hate? Save your hate for about 10 minutes and we will discuss, okay?
All right. Before I get to the showbiz news, I'm asking for all my fellow comic book fans to help me out this weekend on Sunday. We're doing a little fundraising event for Annabelle Ward and her daughter, Ayanna, who, if you've listened to the show on a regular basis the past couple of weeks, you know, were the victims of a horrible hit-and-run crime. So this Sunday, I will be at DJ's Universal Comics in Studio City, which is the neighborhood that Annabelle lived in when the accident happened. I live there as well, right on Ventura Boulevard. We're at Tahunga Meets Ventura, 11390. Is the address on Ventura Boulevard. DJ's Universal Comics opens at 11. I'll be there from noon to 3 saying hi to people. Come on by because all the sales that they have that day, 10% of those receipts will go to Annabelle to help her out. So looking forward to that.
That's a terrible idea.
What if I promote it?
That's not terrible.
Speaking of charity, No Doubt is still having their charity auction over there on eBay. All the proceeds from this auction go to terrific charities that the four guys and Gwen in the band love. You got guitars that they've actually played on stage and in videos. You got the band's costumes. You got personal items up for auction. Really, really cool stuff. If you're a No Doubt fan, you can go to NoDoubt.com for more information, or you just go to eBay.com/NoDoubt, and you can see all the stuff is up for auction. Everything ends tomorrow.
Talked to Tony about that backstage at the Weenie Roast.
Yeah.
And he said they're back in the studio. They're writing new songs. They have like 6 or 7 new songs.
Yeah, sure,
things
buddy.
Are coming together.
No, they are. Yeah. Okay, Kevin. Whatever you want to say.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
I want
new. You remember anything that happened backstage at Weenie Roast?
I want new No Doubt.
I'm Tony Camel from the band I Don't Doubt You.
How dare you.
Lots of emails pouring in, people begging for more names of fictional characters that you didn't know.
No, they're not.
It happened.
No, not one person.
No, I've got emails.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Including one regarding Kevin saying, don't let Mr. Short Attention Span keep you from giving us more names of fictional characters that we didn't know.
I am Mr. Short Attention Span.
So that's have to give them what they want.
You don't have to, though.
You know Barbie's real name? Barbie's full name? Barbara Millicent Roberts.
Come on.
There aren't enough people named Millicent anymore.
Come on now.
I've been saying that my whole life.
Right? Ken of Barbie and Ken. His last name?
Right.
Carson. Ken Carson. Now you know.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
Shaggy on Scooby-Doo.
This is the kind of information, people, that if you take to work and you say, hey, did you know Shaggy from Scooby-Doo's name, you're going to get beat up, so don't do it.
You got to think, Shaggy's not a real name. That can't be his full name, Shaggy. You just can't go around being Shaggy.
Sure could be. He's a fictional character.
You'd be right. His proper real name? Norville Rogers. That's Shaggy's name.
Stop it.
Norville?
Stop doing what you're doing.
Never hear him saying that.
Stop doing what you're doing.
You know what? Operation, the classic game Operation. Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me he has a name.
He's got a
don't
name.
Don't you tell
the
me
guy?
Kevin, see, you
nope.
didn't know. This is not only
the
entertaining,
fat guy from Operation?
But educational.
Does not need a name.
He's got a name.
No, he doesn't.
Remove wrenched ankle. That guy. Remove funny bone. That guy.
Yeah.
Cavity Sam is his name.
He does not have a name.
His name is Cavity Sam.
Oh, my no! God. Who the hell cares?
Of course, I'll have more of these in the next hour. You can
or not.
Check them out. Megan Mullally is complaining she can't go anywhere in secret. She's always besieged by fans.
She is?
Yes, Lisa. Because of her trademark laugh, she says.
I don't know what she laughs like.
She was, I don't either. Can't be that much of a trademark. Apparently she was in a theater recently watching a play, and she was laughing during it. And she said when it was over, everyone in the theater was mobbed. She was mobbed by adoring fans. Because everyone knew she was there, and they kept looking for her after the performance to hunt her down and get autographs.
Hmm. Is she in Twilight?
She's not in
nope.
Twilight, no.
Hmm.
She was in Will and Grace, and now she sings and dances to a tub of artificial butter. That's what she does.
She does a commercial.
Show that to your fans. I bet you they'll leave you alone for a while. When you're singing, turn the tub around,
no.
talking about nutrition.
Nope, she doesn't do that.
She sings that.
That's a terrible
she
song.
She sings that to a tub of I can't believe it's not butter.
Dean, where's Charles Barkley when we need him?
Exactly. F her. Tom Cruise has a bit of a jealous streak.
Does he?
Yeah.
What a surprise.
He was in England for the National Movie Awards in London there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there with his wife, Katie Holmes. Because if she strays 30 feet away from him,
right,
she gets shocked with the collar.
She has a scram bracelet.
Yeah. And Joshua Jackson was there. From Fringe, of course. But yeah. they famously worked together on Dawson's Creek.
Right.
And uh-huh. were also...
They were a couple, weren't
a
they?
Couple.
Yeah.
A couple.
So Tom Cruise orders his security... to make sure that Joshua Jackson and Katie Holmes don't intersect paths at any point during the
really?
Event.
Wow.
Joshua was there with his girlfriend, Diane Kruger, from Inglourious Basterds.
Right.
That's why he was there, to be a good boyfriend and to support her. But he was shown from the room when Mr. and Mrs. Cruise entered the same VIP suite. And I know this story to be true because...
Wait, they kicked him out of the VIP suite because
yes.
Tom wanted him kicked out?
Yes.
Nice.
I know the story is true because I watch on a regular basis a British talk show called The Graham Norton Show on BBC America, which is very, very funny if you've never seen it. And they had on Chris Rock and Joshua Jackson, who were both in town for the National Movie Awards.
Right.
And both of them were talking about how when Tom Cruise showed up, they both got booted out of the VIP room.
Chris Rock, too?
Chris Rock, too.
What?
He's like, what, is there a very, very important room? A VVIP room? He kept going up, but they apparently were bounced once Mr. Cruise showed
wow.
up.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
So apparently, maybe Tom isn't as secure in his relationship as he'd like us to believe.
How about that?
That's all I'm saying. You want to know some more names of characters?
Not a bit.
Know?
Not even a little bit.
You know what the Wizard of Oz's real name is?
Wizard.
No.
Don't care.
It is Oscar Zoroaster Fedrig Isaac Norman Henkel Emmanuel Ambrose Diggs.
No way.
Yeah, dumb.
That's his real name.
Now you stop know. Doing what you're doing.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Shia LaBeouf celebrates his 24th birthday today. Joshua Jackson. Speaking Ooh. Of Joshua, he is 32 years old. Hugh Laurie of House is 51 years old. NFL legend Joe Montana turns 54, and actor Gene Wilder is 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Your chance to win Green Day Rock Band coming up later this hour. Adam Carolla on the show with This Week in Rage. And they finally found the president. Dana White is going to join us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He was unavailable when we were trying to get to him a half hour ago, but we will be able to talk to him about all things UFC coming up next hour on the Kevin and
but
Bean
Show.
But
the good news is we got a chance to get out the word that Lisa's dog is trying to commit suicide.
We did do a public service. If you are a dog, do not be owned by Lisa is what we're trying to say.
Now, I've got a question. We've been listening to Ralph rant and rave in the office for the past few weeks leading up to today and the start of the World Cup. You love sports.
Right.
You love sports.
That's
love
why
hockey.
I don't like soccer.
You love hockey.
Because
you
it
watch,
is not a sport.
You watch basketball.
Yes.
You love football. You're not a big baseball fan. But in general,
never.
You're a sports fan. You appreciate
a beautiful
game. You appreciate great
oh,
athletics.
Oh, look how he did it. See what he did? He worked in the beautiful game. It's a nickname for soccer.
What I'm saying is
you
I don't
should call it beautiful lawn. Because I've noticed that they do have lovely grass that they play on.
But you could say the same thing about a lot of football stadiums. It's the field is attractive to look at, but what goes on, the athleticism
yes.
of those athletes is amazing.
They sure
to
can
watch.
Run. I'll
they
give them
sure
that.
Can run.
They
and by the
run.
Way, as a fat, lazy guy, yes. That's enough for me to be impressed watching a World Cup soccer game is the fact that those guys don't have heart attacks and die.
That's on you, then. Why don't you just watch track and field, then? Why don't you watch? You know what? Tune into the L.A. Marathon. That's televised, too. Have one guy kick a ball at the end of the marathon and score one goal, and then you'll have something very
it's
similar
so much
to what
more
soccer
complex
is.
Than that, though, right?
Is it really?
Yes.
It's more complex than a bunch of guys running around on a lawn and not scoring anything?
There's constant action and reaction. There's no stop.
There's no scoring. I know that.
Well, sometimes.
Most times.
Sometimes there's no scoring.
Most times.
But then when they score.
1-0. Woo! We got another 1-0 game.
But then when they score, it's a huge deal. They go crazy.
You wake up. Actually wake up. That is a huge deal. What the hell just happened? Somebody scored. What am I watching? Hockey? Oh, no. It's still soccer.
I put up a video of the best moments of 2006, and it's you watch that and you go, I have to watch
it that way.
So
that's what I said.
For that.
They are able to distill it down into 30 seconds of interesting.
Yeah,
I'm stunned, Kevin. You, a guy who buys baseball too slow and dull,
I know,
is fascinated by soccer, which makes baseball looked like laser tag.
No, it doesn't. Don't start talking about those two, because in baseball, there's 2 minutes of a break, and then there's 1 second of action.
But at least
there's a two-minute break where no one can do anything.
You know what? It's the same thing as soccer, only during that two-minute break, guys are just running around. Here's the thing that started off my rant was that Kevin said
the World Cup
is the greatest sporting event in the world.
It is, by far.
And I said, that's madness, because it's not even the top three sports in the world. Not going to be the greatest sporting event of the world.
That's just false.
No, it's absolutely not false.
It's what are you basing?
What do you think the top three sports are?
Soccer,
no,
first of all. In
no.
the world?
I'm not talking about popular here. I'm saying best. You said it was the greatest event.
It is the greatest event.
It's not. I'll give you most popular. Obviously, more people watch it than any other because it is so popular in countries where the only thing they have to play with is a severed head in the middle of the street.
Right.
That's why they love that, because it's easy to find a head laying around from some drug deal gone bad, and they can kick it around and entertain the kids.
I feel like I need some help from the listeners. I'm not a very good ambassador. 1-800-520-1067. But soccer really
rules. Soccer
rules.
Pales to football. Soccer pales to basketball. And you know what happened with soccer? Someone said, this sport blows. How can we make it interesting? Oh, I know. Let's put it on ice and make something called hockey and then make it good.
But let's shorten the field a lot.
So it pales to that. So I'm saying those are the three top sports. And then if you add boxing and mixed martial arts, I mean, I've got a list of sports that soccer couldn't even carry its jock.
But
so
let me ask you this.
Just because a lot of people are watching something doesn't necessarily make it great.
Let me ask you this, Ralph. Mm. I can understand how you might not care about a middle of the season Galaxy game. I get that.
How dare you?
Because there's not much stakes unless you're really following a team, unless you're invested like Kevin is. But Kevin's analogy earlier in the week I thought was very good, and we don't often say that about Kevin's analogies. It's as if the Super Bowl happened here and the American team that won went over to play the Super Bowl champion of France and the Super Bowl champion of England and the Super Bowl champion of Italy and all
That'd
around
be great,
the world
they'd
you
be
have
playing
all
football.
The,
then it would be interesting.
The, but what I'm saying is there's so much that goes into talent at that level to be playing against the best of every other country in the world.
And you know what? I mean, the best curlers go and play the Olympics too. Doesn't make curling a great sport just because people from different countries play against each other. Not necessarily a great sport automatically because different countries are competing. Sorry.
Is it possible?
A lot of people run in a circle during the Olympics. Doesn't make it a great sport.
But when
it's
you talk
about guys from different countries running.
But when you talk about the Super Bowl, I mean, it gets 105, 120 million viewers.
Not arguing number of people watching.
But
not
isn't that an indicator of,
Then Avatar's the greatest movie ever made. Do you think Avatar's the greatest movie ever made because more people went to see it than any other movie?
No, but
well, then
hold on. But it does give that argument some weight. Of course it does.
Yeah, you can't
not.
Deny it
the
completely.
Only, you can't deny it completely. Avatar's not the greatest movie ever. Well, no one.
I'm not talking about Avatar. I'm talking about soccer.
No, if you're saying the volume of people that watch something automatically make it great, then you have to equate anything that is the most popular in any category as being the best.
All right. Let me phrase the question another way, because I know what a huge hockey fan you are. You have such an intimate understanding of that game that you're able to see things on the ice that the casual hockey fan wouldn't see. It's not just the scoring that excites you about that. You love seeing what the guys are doing facing off against their opponents. You can watch that game on 10 different levels at the same time and enjoy it because you're so familiar with it. Isn't it possible it's the same with soccer? You're just not familiar enough with it to know what each guy is doing and how each man is countering the man on the other squad.
If you take someone who's never watched a hockey game before to a hockey game, they will be blown away by the speed, the action, the hitting, the scoring, the all the levels of it. The first view of hockey, you will be fascinated by what's happening. Even if you don't become a deep fan that knows all the different
nuances.
Just
because there's a lot of action.
Because of the basic nature of that game.
I'll
take one person to watch soccer and you'll say, this is a wide shot of a bunch of guys running around on somebody's lawn.
I'll give you that they get to the goal faster in hockey.
Do you think?
All right, before we go to
how
your calls.
How much 0-0 soccer in the world exists, do you think?
Dude, let me just explain something
how
to
you. How much time is spent at 0-0?
Some games are super boring at 0-0. I give you that. But some are super interesting and stressful and great and still have a 0-0 score.
That's and you could say the same about any sport, by the way. There are football
that's
games.
That's what Bean says about baseball.
Baseball, a 1-0 game can be one of the most exciting things in the world sometimes.
Yeah, because other stuff's going on. The only time you score in baseball is when a guy crosses home plate, right?
Right.
But meanwhile, this guy's throwing things and hitting things and catching things and running around and hitting to each other.
No, they're not. They're just standing around waiting for that to happen.
No, the stuff, while it happens, there's stuff going on. This is guys who just run and then they kick. Look, the sport was obviously invented before man evolved in being able to use his arms, first of all. So I am surprised that you, as someone who hates all things old, could even appreciate this. Any sport that can be played by an armless man is not really a sport.
All right,
look, you need arms to play chess.
We're going to go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Before we take a break and get to your calls, I think Edwin sums it up best in the email. Are there any soccer players whose real names we don't know? That would be more interesting than watching soccer.
That's
so there you go.
How dare
all right.
You
know Pele's
Javier,
full name?
And Pat and Corey and Vinny, everybody, you guys hang on. You'll have a chance to talk to Ralph about why he's wrong when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, day one of the World Cup. Ralph is speaking really of the – he's got the majority opinion that he's representing here today because most Americans, most people listening don't care about soccer, don't watch soccer, won't be watching soccer. But in this room –
it's a shame
because we have real sports.
Ralph's in a little bit of a minority, so we're trying to convince him that he is missing out by not watching soccer, especially now when the World Cup is on and it all means so much. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with let's start with Javier. He's on line 8.
Jeez, I wonder what a guy named Javier feels about soccer. Yeah, wonder what his opinion's going
to
be.
There's no way to tell, man. He could be a hockey guy. You don't
know. He's on my side. Maybe Javier is not a big soccer fan.
Javier, help me explain the beauty of soccer to Ralph.
Good morning, guys. Hi. All right, look, aside from the fact that these guys are the best conditioned athletes because they are consistently playing year-round.
You're right.
You have soccer hooligans.
Right.
You have stadium chants. People, ole, 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 ole. Better than any hockey game you could go to. And on top of it, there's more stadium fights. There's practically riots that break out because people are so prideful for their country.
Yes.
Listen, Javi, let me tell you something. I grew up in Philadelphia where there's hooligans for every sport. We've
That's
got
true.
Hooligans for football, hooligans for baseball.
You guys have church hooligans, though.
We've got people throwing up purposely on other people at baseball games. We've got real hooliganism for every sport. So soccer doesn't have the monopoly on hooligans.
And Javier, I hate to cut the legs out of your argument about the fans in the crowd. Everything you just said that is awesome is completely wiped out by those goddamn horns. Those horns are the most painful thing to listen to in the world.
Oh, it drives me crazy too. I wish they would confiscate them on the way in.
The fans have to do something, so they play the trumpet because there's nothing to watch.
Let's try Tommy. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I will give him the argument, though, that those guys are in amazing shape to be able to run like that for hours and hours and hours.
But there's always action, and there's always the defense always moving. There's always positioning, getting
guys
open.
Move?
No, I'm saying.
I didn't know guys moved.
Oh, Ralph.
If they moved, now I'm in. Guys moving around on the lawn.
Hi, Tommy. Help me.
Ralph, every World Cup match is like American football Super Bowl, except for the Super Bowl is just one game. World Cup matches, there's many, many going on. So each day, each country gets fired up for their own little mini Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and you have that throughout the whole time of the World Cup.
Because that's all these countries have. I'm not saying that I don't feel bad for them because soccer's their sport. Don't get me wrong. I feel sorry for them. But in America, we've got real sports. We don't have to bother with soccer. That's why we win.
Yeah, I'm not a big soccer fan. My daughter played soccer, but for some reason, I get sucked into it every 4 years.
I'll tell you why. I mean, because what about the whole, this is U.S. versus whatever, England we're playing this weekend? What about the national pride?
That's why we fight wars, because then we go,
but that's the same thing with the Olympics.
We shot a guy in Afghanistan.
No, but you don't take
USA.
Yeah, you don't,
versus Canada hockey. That was a big thing.
Right. You don't get the us against the world kind of feeling where you're an American and you're rooting for.
If I was playing, maybe I would, but not so much. Just watching guys on a lawn. No.
They're not on a lawn.
They're
first
on
of
a lawn. They're on top of the old guy's
lawn.
Hey, you kids, get off my lawn with that ball.
Some guy's yelling at me. Let's try Ryan, line 4 on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're almost out of time. I can tell, by the way, that no one's mind is being changed here today, but Ryan, we'll give you a chance. Go ahead.
Ryan's going to make it work.
Ralph, I love you, bro, but you're completely wrong. Soccer is the only sport that the entire world rallies around. We're the only country that sucks at it, basically. I think that's why you're pissed off.
I'm not pissed off. I'm just not interested.
Can I tell you how many people watched the last World Cup? The whole month? 26 billion people.
I get that a lot of people watch. I'm not arguing that.
26 billion is not a lot.
Your argument was that football is better than soccer.
Yes.
How is that?
Because it's more exciting.
Because he likes it better.
Because it's more exciting. It's got more going on. There's more to it. It's action-packed.
Okay, so why don't other countries play that sport, though? No one else.
Because they can't afford pads, and they can't afford cleats or helmets.
That's not true.
It's true. They can't afford anything.
That's the most expensive, right? Of course.
Yeah. So soccer, you can play with a severed head. I told you that already. That's why they play it. Because there's lots of severed heads in those countries.
I don't think they play with severed heads.
That's how it started, with a guy kicking a severed head around.
I saw that in Saw, one of those movies, but I don't think that's actual reality.
Listen, James writes me and says, the World Cup is basically thanks for that info soccer.
Oh, that's painful.
Right. No one's interested.
So you're going to be able to avoid it for the whole next 30 days, basically, Ralph. That's your goal,
I'm
right?
taking the next 30 days off.
I'm saying go to KevinandBean.com, look up my post. I edited a video together of highlights from 2006. And you'll,
that's the
you'll
only
go,
way to watch soccer.
And you'll go, that's amazing.
Because you captured all the interesting things from 30 years of soccer, and you edited it down to a minute.
All right, what if here's my solution for you, Ralph. What if it's a tie game with 5 minutes to go, and
ties 0-0.
And they throw another ball out, and then they're both
now
out. How about
talking
that?
About it. And let them check each other.
Legendary rock and roll disc jockey Rodney Bingenheimer joining us on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Rodney. How are you?
Rodney on the Rock Show. Thanks for listening. Coming up next, Brian Wilson will stop by with David Cassidy.
Nope.
We'll talk
not
pigeons.
To actually... No, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, here because apparently you are a Green Day fanatic, and you can take any comer on a question about Green Day. Oh. You can answer any Green Day trivia question, right?
I don't know about that.
Take it easy with that.
How old is she?
That's not that kind of a thing. Oh, all right. 1-800-520-1067. Green Day Rock
Green
Band
Day
up
trivia.
For grabs. Right, and you are qualified.
All right, just hold on a second. Let us get through this. Let us get through the intro.
Green Day's the answer.
Right,
you'll be qualified to see the band in Denver, plus get a Green Day autograph guitar. If you've got a question you think you can stump Rodney, give us a call right now. Hit it, Steve.
Can you stump Rodney? Can you stump Rodney? Let's all stump Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
All right. Echo and the Bunnymen.
You can't.
No. Do I win?
No, this is Green Day trivia.
Do I win tickets?
The listeners are going to ask you questions. You give them the answer. Now,
that's Godhead.
Rodney's been around forever, so he's unbeatable. That's what we hear.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
He's a bolt.
I know everything.
He hears a musical fact one time, and he never forgets it. So it's unlikely that anyone will even qualify. But let's try. Let's start with the basics. Let's go to Tony. He's on line one. If you're a Green Day fan, you probably know this story that Tony's going to ask about. Hi, Tony. You're on the air with the great Rodney Bingenheimer. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I want to know if Rodney knows how Green Day originally got their name.
Thomas Dolby gave it to them.
I don't think that's true.
He blinded us with Green Day.
That's not.
Green Day.
Not exactly.
That's
not
me with Green Day.
Is that the case, Tony?
No, not exactly.
Not exactly.
Back in the day, they were called something else, and when they did a performance and made some money, they would say it's a Green Day because they were able to buy Bud.
Ah, see? There you go. Congratulations.
Thomas
Dolby
sold it to them.
No.
You are in the drawing for the Green Day Rock Band. Congratulations. All right, so that's okay. You didn't know that one, Rodney, but we got plenty of other callers, too. Let's try Sandy. Sandy's on line 3. She's going to try to stump Rodney.
Hey, Sandy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks. What's your question?
Okay. You ready for my question?
Yep.
My question is, what animated movie did Billy Joe Armstrong do a voice for?
Spandau Ballet.
That's not an animated movie. Is it? Is that an animated movie?
Sheena Easton.
It's not, again. Is it Sheena Easton, Sandy?
I'm sorry?
Is it Sheena Easton? Is that the correct answer?
No, that is not the correct answer.
Hmm. What is it?
It is Live Freaky, Die Freaky.
All right.
Sandy, hang on. You are in the drawing. Let's try
Disney
let's try
film.
Katie on line 8. Hi, Katie. Congratulations for getting through. You're on with Rodney Bingenheimer. Can you stump him with Green Day trivia?
Hi, good morning. How's it going?
Good. Thanks.
Good. I was wondering if you know Mike Dirnt's real last name.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
That's
that wouldn't be a name, Rodney. That doesn't even make any sense.
Frankie is a first name.
Well, that's definitely person. Not it. Well, it's Pritchard.
What is it?
Pritchard.
Mm-hmm. Rodney did not know that one. Geldof. So congratulations.
Are none of these no,
Frankie Geldof.
I don't see in his eyes really any knowledge of anything.
You know the band we're talking about, Green Day, right? You're familiar with that group.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Coming up right. Next, Rodney on the Rock Show.
No. No.
All right. Green no. Day.
All right.
Godhead.
We got a Mike question. I think we got a Trey question for you on line 7. This is going to be Jeff going for Green Day Rock Band. Hey, Jeff, you're on with Rodney. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. What is Trey Cool's real name?
Terrence Dave? Trent Darby.
It's a different person, Rodney. Do you understand the game?
Def Leppard.
Is it Terrence Trent Darby or Def Leppard?
No, sorry, Rodney. It's Frank Wright III.
Dave Edmonds?
He just...
You're close,
I already just told you that.
Did I win?
Let's
no,
try.
You don't win anything.
Let's go to line 5. Juan has a question. Ronnie, now you were probably a witness to this event that he is talking about, so clearly you're going to know this one. Juan, you're on with Ronnie. Go ahead.
Hey, party people. My question is, what band did Green Day get in a fight with at one of the Weenie Roasts?
Bananarama.
They've never
close.
Played.
Yeah.
Close is right. Although that's they've close. Never played...
Fun Boy 3.
Never. It was Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew there was a 3 in there somewhere.
Yeah, you didn't know. You didn't have any idea, did you?
All right.
Dream
one,
Academy.
Okay. One more.
Debbie
let's
Gibson?
Let's try Seabass. Seabass is calling us on line 2.
All
this
right.
will be our final question. So far, everyone has stumped you, Rodney, so let's see how you do
Hopefully,
here.
Ralph will tell us in the next showbiz what Seabass's real name is. Hey, Seabass.
In 1987, Billy Joe and Mike Dirnt started a band. What was the name of it?
The Go-Go's. All right.
Why would you say that? Are you Liz? Can you hear the caller?
Vacation, all I wanted.
Can you hear? Right.
Nick, all
it
right.
doesn't make any sense, Roddy, first of all, because there was already a very popular band called
know,
the Go-Go's
that's why
at
they had
that
to change
time.
Their name.
But they weren't the Go-Go's.
Seabass, was it the Go-Go's?
Haircut 100.
Or Haircut 100?
No, it was Sweet Children.
Human League?
Rodney, he already gave you the answer.
New Order.
Lisa, everyone is in the drawing. Who wins the Green Day Rock Band and is
Pet
eligible
Shop
for
Boys.
The, for the
winner,
trip to see the band in Colorado?
Katie is the winner.
All right.
All right, Susie Sue.
Katie was, what is Mike Dirnt's real last name? Congratulations, yeah. Katie.
Thank you.
Got the Green Day Rock Band, and you stumped Rodney, which is very, very hard to do.
Crowded house.
Stop saying things now, Rodney.
Yeah, wigwam bam.
One oh 6.7 K Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:54.
Adam Carolla.
This
week in Reach.
Coming
up
in
about
on.
15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and then we'll catch up with UFC President Dana White. That's all in the next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on?
Comic book fans, fellow comic book fans. I'm calling out. I'm sending up the bat signal for you. I need your help. We are raising money for Annabelle Ward, as you know, the victim of that horrible hit-and-run crime. I am doing an appearance at DJ's Universal Comics in Studio City, California this Sunday. Come on by. 10% of all the sales that they make that day, they have very generously said they will donate to Annabelle's cause. So please come by and check it out. They're having a grand reopening sale. Half off of all the toys there, 40% off all the comic book T-shirts. They got statues and busts on sale.
Miniaturized? Miniature?
Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous?
Items are going for 20%. All the comic books are on sale. Trade backs, that kind of stuff. So come on out. It's at Ventura Boulevard, where it meets Tahunga. right there in Studio City, 11390 is the address. Come on by and check it out. I'll be there at noon on Sunday, and I'll be there all afternoon, so come on by and say hi.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday!
It's for a good cause. January Jones.
Don't make that noise ever.
Way too hot to have been in a car accident.
What?
Yes, but apparently that's what happened. How's her face? How's her face?
Wait, is that how it works?
How's her face? But,
yeah.
If you're hot enough, you don't have to get in an accident?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Hot should be like an airbag that surrounds you at all times and protects you, especially when you have a body and face like hers. TMZ reports that she was driving a Range Rover around 9 p.m. last night when she lost control of said vehicle because the paparazzi were tailing her.
Oh.
She hit three parked cars.
Wow.
And then walked away from the accident and went home.
Is that acceptable?
It is, apparently, the way she did it.
Oh.
Because she left her license with her vehicle.
Oh.
And then called 911 when she got to her house to tell them what happened. But she just didn't want to be there and have the paparazzi jump out and shoot photos of her while she stood by her damaged car.
Which they would
have. Big juicy melons.
They would have
right. Take photos of her big juicy melons.
They would have had thousands of photos.
And she said, I just can't cope with this. So she did the right thing. She identified herself by leaving her license at the scene, went home and called 911 and admitted what had happened.
How about that?
The cops showed up. And when they showed up, she walked back to the scene. She was close to her home, apparently. And they sorted it all out. There was no alcohol involved. And apparently she will not be charged with hit and run because she took all the steps to try to let them know it was her that did the damage. But apparently she was being tailed and being chased and freaked out and lost control of her vehicle, which happens
like
a lot with these paparazzi, by the way. So the good news is that she's fine.
Boobs.
Not one person in the world cares what I think.
That's correct, so don't say
when
it.
When will you ever learn that?
Don't say it. That's it. Good. That's a perfect sentence. Perfect sentence.
But
done.
It's time to start taking away First Amendment rights for celebrity paparazzi.
Wow.
It just is.
Wow. Bean is calling for an overthrow of our Constitution.
You're going to start editing the Bill of Rights.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. If it's causing my sweet January Jones, Betty Draper on Mad Men, to get into a car accident, then yes, it's time to back the F off and give the lady some space to drive.
Apparently, she's been a real target for the paparazzi lately because there were photos on the internet this week of January doing the Walk of Shame.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, she was at a party.
Yep.
The night before, and a dress, and they have photos of her coming home in a taxi cab wearing the same dress the next morning.
These big cans are one-third larger. Giant-size cans.
I don't know who that guy is, who was ever that guy.
He does good work.
He is the lucky.
You know what, though?
Man.
Did somebody
say...
Well,
this was a big bust.
Did anyone ever say, hey, good on you for taking a cab?
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of driving?
Where's her love for that?
I mean, really, that's something. You don't see celebrities getting out of cabs often.
No. I just want to rinse out her delicates. That's all I ask. That's all I ask.
That's too much. You're asking too much.
Asking too much?
Yeah.
Someone's going to rinse them out?
Yeah, I hear you.
More paparazzi trouble. Shia LaBeouf was caught red-handed removing the camera from a photographer. He decided to confiscate his photo equipment while he was parked outside Shia's house. Shia had an assful, apparently, went up to the guy's car and took his camera. Police were called. They settled the things by getting the camera back for the photographer. No arrests were made. But these paparazzi, they're starting to bug the celebrities to the point of distraction.
Yeah.
I've taken care of it with my ruling.
I didn't realize that was a ruling. I thought it was just a suggestion.
Nope.
Didn't know Bean was appointed? Law. Bean was appointed to the Supreme Court.
I'm moving to another country right now.
Where they enjoy soccer. That's where Kevin's going.
I am.
And speaking of how hard it is to deal with the journalists and the paparazzis and the media wonks in the world, Bradley Cooper's had a rough week as well. He, of course, starred the A-Team. He was recently on Morning Joe. You know that show on MSNBC? It's like their version of the Today Show kind of thing. Joe Scarborough's the host. And he's got a staff, a crew of other people who interview with him, like the Today Show. They got a full group.
First of all, I'm on at the same time. Second of all, if I wasn't, I would never watch that show. Back to you.
It's a semi-popular cable morning show.
I mean, he's not a bad personality. You might like him.
Nope.
Anyway, Bradley Cooper's on there promoting the A-Team.
Yes.
And he had to deal with this stupid bitch, and I wrote her name down, and I wish I had it with me, but she's the female host of the show.
Well, was she mean to him or something?
Well, she's just an idiot.
Okay.
First of all, she hated The Hangover.
Oh, well, that's unacceptable right there. That's the best movie of my life.
But then she never really saw it. She watched it up until the part where they go to the roof. Which is really not, the movie hasn't even kicked in yet at that point.
What?
And Bradley Cooper, God love him, calls her out on it. On that, well, I'll play the first clip.
He's talking about The Hangover.
That's right, which you loved.
I'm going to give it another try.
Are you really going to do it, though?
Yeah.
You told me that I was wrong in my prediction because I felt it was predictable.
Well, first of all, you lied because you said you saw it.
I did. I got all the way to the rooftop scene.
Yeah, and you said it's all about the night out, which is the opposite of what it's about.
Right.
Exactly. Like they're all back partying, really they're partying, and getting dressed. Like, that's not the movie at all.
It's called
The
Hangover.
You didn't like that movie?
She didn't see it, Donnie. She didn't see it.
So first, you bust your balls on that.
I love him for that.
I love him for not just kowtowing and doing the basic pro.
That was at the beginning. When he said, I see myself as a wolf pack.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Well, they're toasting before everything happens.
That's
where she stopped watching. She's a horrible,
Ralph, that
horrible
is,
human being.
That is Micah Brzezinski, is that dumb whore's name.
Thank you, that's it. Micah Brzezinski. So he doesn't let her off the hook, which I love about him.
Yeah.
And then she goes on to talk about his new movie, The A-Team. And Bradley Cooper, God love him, just rakes her over the coals.
Bradley's here to talk today about his latest film. It's called The A-Team.
As opposed to... She came up to me and she said, so I'm so happy you're part of the A-List?
This is the A-List?
A-List show?
Oh, Mika.
Yeah. And she was like totally sincere. Totally sincere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah.
You're a stupid horror.
Has she never even heard of the TV show?
She should be murdered.
Wow.
On MSNBC. Then maybe somebody would watch that network.
Lisa, I didn't think it was possible for you to fall more in love with Bradley Cooper, but I bet that has just happened again here today.
Oh, he's so...
It has with me.
He's the best.
I want to have sex with him now.
And nice and funny.
He is great.
And all right, now I have a boner.
And from Philadelphia, by the way. Awesome.
Well, he can't be perfect.
He is.
But like you, he got out. But like you, he left.
Perfect. That's right. He got out. That makes him perfect.
How dare you.
Good point.
Today's celebrity birthday, Shia LaBeouf is 24 years old today. Joshua Jackson, woo! He is for real.
When can we stop the outcast humor?
Never.
I mean, really?
Never.
All right.
It's like Cats. It's now and forever.
It's gone. It's
until
dead.
It's canceled.
Hugh Laurie is 51 years old today. He is the star of House. He is one of...
Asshole!
No, shut up.
He is.
He's one of the best actors on television and one of the nicest guys in the world. And I may have mentioned this a couple times, but he also trains in the same boxing gym where I do.
Oh, you've bragged about that plenty.
It's not bragging. I'm just saying it's a point of interest. Because I've got into the ring with Hugh Laurie.
You have?
He's 51 years old.
He's got a cane.
He kicked my ass, basically.
Did he really?
He's in great shape, and he made me. He gave me a shiner.
Did you throw it? I mean, did you take a dive to make him feel good because you love him so much?
Well, you know, when you're sparring with other guys in class, you're not out for blood. You're not going for the knockout. You're just moving and sticking. You know, you're just trying to.
But he's
an
actor you love.
Yeah, but I wasn't. You know, he had headgear on.
I'm going to leave my guard down
so
he can get a good shot.
I wanted to show him and knew what I was doing. He tagged me and
you
gave
let him
me
win.
A black eye.
You let him win.
That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just saying, 51 is pretty good shape.
Yeah.
Joe Montana, 54 years old today, NFL QB legend. And Gene Wilder, 77 years old. I know I could kick Gene Wilder's ass.
You could, yeah.
If I got him in the ring.
Yeah, Lisa could.
Willy Wonka, boom! Right on the button. Yeah, how about that? How about that, Candyman? Bang! That's all I'm saying. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Dana White from the UFC joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Every Friday we talk to the Ace Man, who you can see live and in person. His new one-man show is going to be at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks, California. That's tonight in El Portal. He returns to North Hollywood on Lancashire. That is going to be tomorrow night. Get all your tickets at adamcarolla.com. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on. Hey, Ace Man.
Get it on. Great talking to you, Bean and Kevin. And I'm going to start at number three, work my way down to number one.
You work your way up, don't you, technically?
Well, this is more of a lateral move.
Okay.
At least comedically.
Sideways. All right.
But, I guess you work your way up, but it's weird because I work my way down from the top of the page to the bottom. But all right, listen, you know what's going to be number three next week, a-hole?
What?
You complaining about the direction my list moves.
Sorry, good point.
All right, you better hope I forget. All right, starting at number three, working my way toward number one. Number three. All these new movies come out, like, we got the A-Team coming out, and we got the Karate Kid, all these remake movies come out, and inevitably, whoever starred in it or was a part of the first one or even near the first one gets pissed off. They get their nose out of joint somehow. This time, I think Macchio is not excited about the Karate Kid movie. Shatner's always pissed off when they do something with Star Trek without him.
Right.
Like, that's right. We need a big, fat, bloated guy with a rug rolling around the center of the Enterprise. That's going to work nicely in his 70s. who's become a joke from doing too many commercials. But now the A-Team, Dirk Benedict, the guy who played Face on the original one, is PO'd because he's only has like 3 minutes of face time. He gets a cameo. They throw you a bone. They give you a cameo. But I'm just saying, don't be pissed off. You didn't create the first show. You were just a gun for hire. You were lucky to be there. None of these shows, whether it's the A-Team or what have you, would be a hit if we had cable back then. If we could have watched The Sopranos.
Yeah, choices.
Or Deadwood. A-Team, we would never would have heard of the A-Team. So you're lucky to be there when you were there. And I just want to say this to Dirk Benedict. Hey, Face. Shut your face. You're lucky to be there. Jesus Christ. There was gotta be. This is what I love about porn. You don't hear Kay Parker cheesed off if she's not a part of Taboo 29.
That's true. I hadn't thought of it that way.
See, I insist. I know I'm in my 70s and riddled with syphilis, but I insist on making a cameo. No, I got a I got $80 in 1981 and I'm happy.
Right.
All right, number two, heard a little PSA yesterday, which was a Feed the Kids PSA. Don't mind the public service announcements of Feed the Kids in other countries, but this is one of those Feed the Kids out here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, well, now it's summer vacation, so who's going to feed the kids? I mean, the kids had school, you know, they had the lunch coupons, they got the breakfast tickets, the school fed them, you know, during the school year. But now that the school year's over, who's going to feed the kids? I have a novel idea. Perhaps their parents. Wouldn't that be awesome? Their parents could feed the kids. And don't tell me you can't feed your kids. You can go get a sack of beans and a sack of rice and 5,000 tortillas and a beef bouillon cube down at John's for like 40 cents. And they do that thing, too, where they go, during the commercial, in the commercials, why you shouldn't be feeding the kids, because they go, for only 22 cents a week, you can feed a child. Really? It only costs 20? Then why don't you do it? If it's that goddamn cheap, how come mom and pop aren't doing it? I was going to help feed your kid, but I found out it was 22 cents a week.
That's not much food either.
You can't handle that as a parent? Perhaps you should think about pulling out next time.
Oh, good point.
No, but let's really examine this point. Listen, I'm a great parent. I provide in every way possible, except for the part where I feed them. I'm not good at that. That I'm a little weak in. Other than that, I'm Bill Cosby. If you can't feed your kids, don't have kids.
I agree.
Jesus Christ, it's number one on the list. It's way up there.
It's the first thing you should do as a parent.
Feed them.
Yeah. Right.
Jesus. And you can go to Taco Bell and get 9 soft tacos for a nickel. So don't give me that. I can't afford it. BS. All right. You feed your own goddamn kids. And speaking of feeding the kids, I had my twins' birthday last weekend, and they had to get the separate cake.
Sure.
And each cake was done. I mean, by the time you pulled off the candles and the entire cast of Dora the Explorer and the goalposts and scraped off all the crazy electric blue viscous petroleum jelly sweetener and all the crap that was piled high, there was nothing left. What are we doing with these kids' cakes? Like, why do they have that? It's like a clown vomited into a pan. What's up? What about something simple? How about you get your kids onto some nice German chocolate or pineapple upside down cake? Well, you know what I mean? Like, what? Why does there have to be Mardi Gras on top of my kids' cake? I want some cake. I'm sure they would enjoy cake, too, but you can't find it because there's a pile of confetti on top of it. And how disappointed are they going to be when later on in life they just go out and get a steak and it shows up at their table and it's like, this is it? How come my name's not written on it?
No confetti?
There's no confetti. There's no likeness of me airbrushed onto it in frosting. What's up? Let's get back to basics.
Just get back to cake.
Birthday cake.
All right.
Just a cake with a little chocolate spread on like mom used to do it, yes?
Don't do anything too nice for little kids because you're setting them up for a lifetime of disappointment. That's what the Ace Man is saying here today,
I think. I'm going to take my kid on cake, and I'm going to send it to those kids to feed the kids.
There you go. You can feed a million of them based on your one cake. All right. Thousand Oaks tonight on stage and then in North Hollywood tomorrow and all the fine family of Adam Carolla podcasts always available 24/7 at adamcarolla.com. Have a great weekend, Ace Man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
I'm Dana White, the president of the UFC.
Dana White.
Nobody gives a shit.
Boxing is trying to sell you the fight that nobody cares about.
He is the president of Ultimate Fighting Championship. He is profane.
I don't like Showtime because I want to kick them in their balls.
He is crude and he is completely authentic.
I love boxing. I watch boxing all the time. My big thing is I tell it like it is, and these guys just don't fight, man. That wasn't a fight. And the Klitschko fight wasn't a fight on Saturday night either.
We're the biggest fight promoters in the history of the fight game. As bad as it got, and there's crazy we've done, we never did it. We stayed true to the sport. I don't believe in bull. They're the best conditioned athletes in the world. They have to be well-versed in boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu. And that's no plug. That's no bullshit. That's the truth.
I think in the next 10 years, we're going to be the biggest sport in the world. Bigger than anything. Bigger than the NFL. Bigger than soccer. Bigger than anything.
Oh, don't say that this week. Don't say that World Cup week, Dana White. The president of the UFC back on the phone. He's the hardest working man in sports and show business with UFC 15 this weekend and then the Ultimate Fighter Team Liddell versus Team Franklin next week. And how are you, Dana? Thanks for joining us, man.
Good. Listen, we missed the time I was supposed to be on earlier.
Yeah.
And your fans are going nuts on me on Twitter, man.
Well,
smashing me.
Are they really? That's funny.
Like, hey, guys, I was doing a radio tour. I was 10 minutes late. Cut me some slack. I'll be on at 9:20.
Look, it wasn't a surprise to us because we know you talk a lot.
Oh, my God, man. Your fans are psychos. UFC people are crazy.
That's so funny that they attack you.
Fans are psychos.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, they were, it's a win-win for everybody because they were very excited to hear you on our show. Because they want to hear what you have to say, especially right now when you've got so much going on. What do you want to start with? You want to start with this weekend or next weekend, Dana?
Let's start with this weekend. Liddell versus Franklin. We got a stacked card. Plus, the co-main event is Crow Cop versus Pat Barry. And probably one of the most... people haven't been looking at the undercard of this fight, but Paulo Thiago versus Martin Campman is going to be a sick fight. It's a very important fight in the 170-pound division. We got a great card tomorrow night.
I got to tell you, one thing I've discovered since I started watching the UFC is that almost always there's one of the earlier fights that is sometimes better than the main event.
At least as good as.
Really, yeah. Just great undercard fights. You just go, wow, this is amazing. I didn't know either of these two people, and yep. It's a great fight. I love it.
Yeah, just so you guys know, for free on Spike TV, before we go live on pay-per-view, Mac Danzig is going to fight Matt Wyman and Tyson Griffin versus Evan Dunham, which a lot of people have been talking about that fight. Tyson Griffin's 14-2, and Dunham is 10-0. It's a really sick fight. Those fights are free on Spike TV before the pay-per-view on Saturday night.
Let's talk about the Iceman for a minute, because here's a guy who has had a roller coaster year of highs and lows, and I know he has created some heartache for you, Dana, but he is focused and healthy and is in great shape going into this weekend, right?
Yeah, and honestly, no heartache for me. Listen, Chuck and I go way back. We were together before we bought the UFC, and he's not only been a good friend, a great champion, a great fighter, he's been a guy who's helped us build this business. And I truly love him and care about him. And my thing was, he became a huge superstar and got into the nightlife thing and started partying all the time and wasn't taking this thing serious anymore. And my thing was, Why keep going? You've accomplished everything. You got a ton of money. You got this, that. And we sat down and had a talk, and he decided he wants to compete again. And I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures of him. He's in the nastiest shape. He didn't look this good when he was 22 years old.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Now, is it true, Dana, that you told him at the beginning of The Ultimate Fighter that he picked all the wrong guys?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, just to show you what I know.
How'd that work out for you?
I don't know anything. That was because Tito was high-fiving everybody because he picked the best team, and I was like, man, I don't know what Chuck was thinking, but Chuck is a strategist, and he's very competitive, man. He likes to win no matter what it is, and he picked the right team.
Now, don't they usually fight after the end of the season of the Ultimate Fighter? Don't you usually have the coaches fight?
Yeah, but then Tito got injured during the season, so he pulled out. So Rich Franklin is fighting Chuck.
Right, but I mean, don't you usually follow the season? I mean, isn't the season finale a week from tomorrow night?
Yeah. It's actually the first time we've ever switched it up. This is the first time that the coaches are actually fighting before the finale.
Right.
We are on the phone with Dana White, by the way, who's, of course, the president of the USC, talking about the UFC 115 this weekend. And then right after that, next week, the Ultimate Fighter, Team Liddell versus Team Franklin. Hey, we have to ask, Dana, because we know that you're a Boston fan and a Boston sports fan.
Yeah.
Are you following Celtics Lakers, or, yeah, or are you not into basketball?
I'm actually in Vancouver right now, and last night we went to a sports bar here and watched. I have a bet with Snoop Dogg. And it's Donnie Wahlberg, Snoop Dogg, and Mike Epps. And it's me and Wahlberg against Mike Epps and Snoop Dogg for $20,000 each.
Wow!
We got the Celtics. Me and Wahlberg got the Celtics, and Mike Epps and Snoop Dogg have the Lakers.
To win the series?
To win the series.
Wow, you're so losing that money. You are so going to lose that money.
If we lose, if me and Wahlberg lose, it goes to Snoop's charity. If they lose, it goes to Wahlberg.
You should contact Snoop and ask him if you can settle for $15,000 now.
Oh,
hey, man.
You
guys are going down, Lakers.
You're
going down.
How dare you?
I know that there's no shortage of guys and no shortage of great athletes who are dying to get into the UFC, but you're a businessman. When you're sitting in that sports bar in Canada last night and you're watching Big Baby and the way he's throwing himself around on the court, are you thinking in the back of your mind, man, I'd love to get that guy in the octagon?
No, I was just glad he was scoring, man. That's all I cared about.
Yeah.
Drooling all over the place and scoring.
He was drooling so much, but man, did he bring them energy.
Yeah, it was
unbelievable.
It was like watching St. Bernard.
It's always a great rivalry. You know what I mean? It's fun. I love when L.A. plays Boston. It's just always fun. People get so into it, and even people that don't care about basketball.
Dana White on the phone. UFC 115 is this weekend on pay-per-view from Vancouver. That is going to be tomorrow night. And then the Ultimate Fighter Team Liddell versus Team Franklin is going to be the following weekend. That's going to be on the 19th. And now that will air the following Wednesday, though, right? That won't air live, right?
No, it'll air live on Saturday.
Oh, it will be live on the 19th. That's great.
That's the finale fight.
Yep, the finale fight will air. It'll be at the Palms. So if anybody, you know, wants to cruise out to Vegas for the finale of The Ultimate Fighter, it's at the Palms in Las Vegas.
Twist my arm. Go to Vegas.
All right, Dana.
So before we forget, too, I got to vote on your poll on the Avenged Sevenfold song.
Okay.
I'm voting for that.
All right.
Avenged Sevenfold. For the vote.
Thumbs up.
All right. Well, make a note that Dana White's a fan of the Avenged Sevenfold song. Fantastic. All right, dude. Always great to catch up with you. Congratulations on both of these events coming up. We're really looking forward to it. We'll talk to you soon, and I can't wait to hear what size bills you use to pay off that bet when the NBA Finals are over.
Yeah. Snoop Dogg and Mike Epps are going to be writing some checks.
Good luck. All right. Thank you, Dana.
Later, guys. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:43.
Unfreaking believable.
Just do it.
Freaking believable.
That bean starts didn't help you, huh?
5 seconds ago.
Yep.
Hey, thanks to Don Francisco's Coffee for providing coffee to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Please check out donfranciscos.com. They're here with us every Friday, and they're awesome. They are locally owned and operated, so drinking their delicious coffee is kind of like having coffee with your neighbor, kind of. Donfranciscos.com. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9:43. Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on, dude?
Bean starts was the thing written down there.
Here, behind the scenes,
that means Bean would begin.
I wrote myself a note to make sure that would happen.
Right.
And then I was yelling at Beer Mug.
Yes, you were.
For having it turned over. Because then
you're still referring to that fact.
That
about
note.
That information.
The Bean starts note that I have right here.
Right, yeah, and then once the microphones became live.
Everything changed.
You began talking.
That's correct.
It became Kevin starts when all along you knew Bean starts was written there in front of you.
I yelled at Mugs for a full minute.
About the fact you needed to have that information
correct.
So that you wouldn't make the mistake you just made.
That's correct. That happened.
With Kevin and myself behind the board, everybody's F.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Ralph, you don't know what it's like on my end. You have no idea what it's like trying to navigate this tightrope every day. All right, Kevin, don't forget, after this, we need to sell so people can call in for the Great Day Contest.
I remember
I got
that.
It.
Oh,
boom!
Man.
Right to commercials as fast as possible.
Look,
it's just been crazy today.
If I'm a computer, I have no RAM. That's my problem. I have a very small hard drive, no RAM. So if one thing happens, everything else is gone.
If you're a computer, you're the Commodore 64.
Yeah, it's true.
That's all right, been the sitting wheels, in someone's garage.
Yeah. The wheels are coming off the Kevin and Bean Show, but if we can hang on for five more minutes.
Sorry,
we'll do the
everyone.
Best we can.
Sorry.
Time for the Showbiz Beat.
I am not coming back next week, I'll tell you that much.
I don't blame you. I might be with you.
I'm going to go home and just watch World Cup after World Cup match. That's all I'm going to do. By the way, first game's over of the World Cup so far.
Don't say. People have, T-boned it.
F them.
All right.
F them. I won't ruin anything for you. You know why? Because there's nothing to ruin. It's a 1-1 tie. Woo! Yes, World Cup excitement. First game ends in a tie.
That's a victory for South Africa, by the way, for the record.
That, you know what would be a victory for South Africa? If they won the game, that would be a victory. A victory, in fact, would be a victory.
I'm sure they would have rather.
If in a sport, a tie is a victory, that sport blows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Magic.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of ties either.
All right. We're talking last hour about the paparazzi and how people taking celebrity photographs and impinging upon their personal space is starting to make them a little nuts. January Jones fled a car accident on foot because she couldn't cope with the paparazzi. Shia LaBeouf stole a camera because they were parked outside of his house trying to take a picture. Now, Jodie Foster has been accused of battery.
Really?
Yes.
Of a paparazzi?
Not using something that uses batteries, which I think Jodie Foster probably would often do. But she was at the Grove, which is a big deal shopping area here in Los Angeles, and a 17-year-old boy came up and started taking photos of her in the valet area. And according to the police report, suspect followed victim, poked him on the chest, grabbed victim by his left arm, causing visible injury.
Wow, she's tough.
She is tough, by the way.
I saw her in Panic Room. She kicked some ass.
Yep.
Jody pushed and shoved him, leaving scratches and bruises on his arm, says the victim's father. Jodie Foster attacked my son at the parking lot of the Grove.
It sounds like he was just a fan.
Yeah, he...
He's not paparazzi, or he is?
No, he's the 17-year-old guy.
Kid ran across her.
His camera phone, apparently, and started taking pictures.
Wow.
She came after him, poked him in the chest, and said, "Do you even have a mother, you slime ball?"
It's a good question.
Apparently, Jodie was with her sons, 8 and 11.
Oh.
She keeps them way out of the press, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what set her off.
Yeah.
And now there may be charges pressed, so there you go. I can imagine it's compounded when your children are with you. You probably get even more protected
of course,
than
yeah.
and wigged out.
So. Don't you have a right to ask, ask that their photos not be
I don't know. Released? I mean, I think you can ask, but I don't think it's protected here like it is like in England or other places.
I asked a question by an emailer after we talked last hour about this subject, and he said, why can't celebrities trademark their likenesses and thereby make it illegal for them, for someone to sell photos of them without their consent or something?
That's Harvey on Monday.
It seems like a reasonable assumption, right? Because it's done certainly in their deaths. You can't make up a Marilyn Monroe t-shirt now and sell it because her likeness has been copywritten.
Right.
So you can't just use it. Maybe couldn't live celebrities do that about their own visage and make that their property?
Well, they obviously can't. Or someone would.
Or no one's thought of it.
I'm sure
no one's ever thought of that before.
I'm sure someone thought of it.
I'm the first guy to pose the question. That's all I'm saying. It's a possibility. That's a possibility.
I'm guessing not.
Want to know some more real names of fictional characters?
Nope. Yes.
The policeman in Monopoly has a name. Did you know that?
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. He is Officer Edgar Mallory. So next time you see that card, the chance card says go directly to jail, and the cop is dragging Uncle Moneybags. Mm-hmm. He's Officer Edgar Mallory. Now you know.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
You know, the skipper's name on Gilligan's Island is actually Jonas Grumby. That's his real name.
No.
Captain Jonas Grumby is his name. Oh, come on.
What?
That's the best decision you've made all day, Kevin.
What?
Just saying, people are clamoring.
They're not.
There's been some clamor.
There's no clamor.
There was one clamor.
There's not a clamor.
There was
not
a clamor.
Single clamor. No. No.
Colin Farrell says it's not easy being a celebrity. Usually it's a pretty good deal, but in this one occasion it was a little problematic. He went to meet his girlfriend's parents recently and found out when he got there that Alicia's mother had seen a copy of his sex tape with Nicole Narain.
Oh, ouch. No.
Apparently she sought it out shortly after Colin started dating her daughter because she wanted to know what was up with this guy. Needless to say, Colin says it was a very embarrassing moment and a difficult dinner.
Yeah.
You can imagine. But then Mom cornered him in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Wow. Colin was pretty impressive, if you get my meaning, so I'm not surprised if Mom was giving him the sideways.
He could use a little manscaping.
Well, there's that.
I'll tell you that much. Dude could introduce him to some sort of trimmer.
Weed eater.
Some kind. Congratulations to the lovely Miss Katy Perry. Oh, I love her so much.
She's amazing.
She's got the number one single in America right now. California Girls just hit number one this week on the Billboard Hot 100. The album hasn't even been released yet, I don't believe, but the single's already number one. OMG from Usher is second, then Airplanes with Haley, of course, from Paramore, going along with B.O.B. Your Love is My Drug from Kesha. Kevin.
Yeah.
There you go. Another Kesha hit.
Fourth and number five is Billionaire.
Have you guys heard that Kesha song at the very end? You heard what's?
I don't hear any of her songs.
Out Cue. Well, that song, the last thing that she says it. She doesn't sing it. She says, "I like your beard."
Like your beard.
That's how that song ends.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's talking to a, you know, an engineer. I don't know.
She's talking to Bean about his wife.
I like your beard. Could be. Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's all about remakes now in Hollywood.
Sure.
Arthur. The very funny comedy starring Dudley Moore about the drunk. Remember that movie?
I barely remember that.
Liza Minnelli.
Long time,
right? Very, very funny comedy.
John Gielgud.
Mm-hmm. Being remade with Russell Brand in the lead. Russell gets a chance to be loud. I'm Russell Brand. Why am I always talking the top of my voice?
He does have just that just that yell. That's the level.
I will say that that's perfect casting, though. He's the right guy for that job if you want somebody to do the exact same job that Dudley Moore did in the original.
Right. And you know how funny people think drunks are these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Just ask anyone.
That was a movie of its time, I guess, in the early 80s.
Helen Mirren will be playing his longtime nanny instead of the butler that John Gielgud played in the original. Jennifer Garner, according to The Hollywood Reporter, will play his wealthy heiress that he's supposed to marry, but he doesn't want to because he's in love with someone else.
Right.
And Nick Nolte will play her father, who is sort of a threatening force in his life.
That could work.
Yeah.
Kevin, you'd love the original. I know you hate anything old, but you'd love that movie. It's so funny. It's
very funny.
So funny.
Is it new?
It is not new.
It's never going to see it. When are you guys just going to give up?
Let's sit him down.
If I see a movie,
down and make him see it.
If I see a movie this week, it's going to be the 18. That's it.
I
don't have time.
You to, you know,
but I only
you
have
to
so
go
time.
Anywhere.
Got a lot
you
of World Cup to watch
in your own
a
home.
Lot of World Cup to watch.
Let me give you. Let me tell you right now. They all tie. Everybody ties. There you go. Now you saved you a bunch of time.
USA Kevin, England tomorrow.
Are you getting on a plane at any time during vacation?
Yes.
Then put it on your iPod and watch the movie and thank us later.
That wasn't a trick question, Kevin.
I had to think about my vacation.
Did they were going to track you down? We don't care.
I'm just
curious. Today's celebrity birthdays: Gene Wilder, 77. Joe Montana, legendary quarterback for the NFL, is 54. Hugh Laurie is 51. Joshua Jackson, he is 32 years old. And Shia LaBeouf celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, an all-new show. We have Patton Oswalt in the studio. We have Maria Menounos on the phone.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Except for the fact that she's a Celtics fan. We have Harvey Levin. We have Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
And more Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Be still, my beating balls.
Roll another one.
Do you smell it?
Just like the other one.
That's real talk right there, man.
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's a terrible idea.
And I need another hit.
They want us to leave. That's what they want us to do.
Yeah.
And I think the world would be better off if we did leave.
Yeah,
if we left, the world would be worse.
What?
Huh? I need to leave. I know that.
Roll another one.
Did you plug the hole yet, Daddy?
Oh. Just like the other one.
And very demeaning to African American women.
One seems to be about.
I'm pretty good with the penises.
I don't have another cent.
You know what? I'm sorry. I tried. I'm just so stoned.
Okay, enough of that racket.
This is really, really bad. I think somebody needs to get in there and do what we can right away to stop it.
So until next time, catch one for me and enjoy the great fishing America has to offer. We'll see you next time.
Now that we have done that, can we please go back to normal?
And one more thing! God, did you ever do that where you forget it's such an important thing and I just forgot it on the way in? If I remember, I'll come back.